I don't remember what we're supposed to do.
We're supposed to say welcome to episode 74 of Crippled System and then introduce ourselves.
And then say bazinga.
Bazinga.
Bajangles.
No, that's not as funny.
Is it flippity blop?
It is impossible for something to be less funny than bazinga. Like, man, I just had 100 possible similes and examples and they were all so depressing and horrible and they were still funnier than bazinga.
Hey, you know what? Such as? You know what's better than bazinga? Is the performance that Nirvana had at the Hall of Fame. It was the most horrendous thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Was it pretty terrible?
Oh. Well, Kurt Cobain was probably off his game.
Was it as terrible as
slightly?
Nothing's that terrible.
They changed things up a little bit. They had a bunch of female musicians come out and our singers to sing for them. Like Joan Jett was out there, and Joan Jett with her raspy voice was like the best part about it. The rest of them, it sounded horrid. Lord was out there as well. It was just the most painful thing I've ever gone through. Besides other things.
I can think of several things. Katie, go look at the Wikipedia for Fatty Arbuckle, the renowned silent film star, and look into what ended his career, and that would be something funnier than Bazinga.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Okay.
And I'm Brian, and I play Scorn / Crix / Scorn / Crix.
And Scorn.
And Scorn. Scorn, Crix.
My name is Katie, and I don't really play War Machine, except for when Brian bribes me.
That's true. The bribes were very effective for 1 month.
I'm sure if anyone bribed you to play, you'd probably play.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
I'm Nathan. I play Convergence.
I'm Jeremy, Valiant 418, and I play Rhett and Legion.
I'm Andy. I'm Major Tusk. I play Mercenaries, Retribution, and Cephalix, which are actually mercenaries.
I was going to say those are mercenaries.
But it doesn't matter.
Okay,
I like the mind control.
They're different.
I'm glad you said Cephalix, because on Sunday you kept talking about your Cephalix, and I just wanted to punch you.
I said Cephalix.
No, the whole time you were telling the anecdote at the end here before I left, you were talking about your Cephalix, your Cephalix, your Cephalix, and I was just smiling and nodding and thinking about terrible, terrible things.
Did somebody at least bring you birthday pie on Saturday?
I bought some for myself.
Was it pecan pie?
No, it was key lime,
which is also delicious.
And then one of Raylene's coworkers gave her rhubarb, so she made rhubarb strawberry cobbler.
Ooh, that is really good.
Super legit. Wasn't good. He had key lime because he had a heavy dinner.
That is actually true. I put thought in.
Nathan's really? My lunch plans.
We were gonna get German chocolate. We were gonna make German chocolate cake,
which is amazing.
Amazing. Sure. I love German chocolate. Don't you not like coconut?
Do not like coconut in general, but I can still enjoy German chocolate cake, as it turns out.
I don't know.
When Katie made the German chocolate bars, I was the only person besides you that ate them.
And they were good, right? Those.
And then you just spit out the cud when all you have left in your mouth is coconut.
Oh, that's
then it's
delicious.
Time to go spit.
I remember everyone was so mad that day. Like, they saw this amazing thing, and then like it's coconut. And like, me and Brock, I guess it's all for Nathan.
That was fine by me. The less you guys ate, the more I got to eat. Ugh. Point is, we had made beef stew, and I decided German chocolate cake would be too heavy after beef stew, so we went with key lime pie.
No, that makes sense.
I was going to tell the whole story for you.
I'm sorry. You
why
can tell
would
it.
You know all that? That's creepy.
Because he is a creeper. I don't understand why he's doing.
What's funny is he was Facebook stalking me, and then the next day he's like, by the way, I didn't know yesterday was your birthday. Like,
how do you
even though he stalked
that?
Me the entire day.
I said happy birthday. I said I didn't know it till the day.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Facebook said it's Nathan's birthday. I'm like, well, fuck.
Time to stalk.
Damn it, Katie. That was like my chain of thought was, damn
well,
it.
I was misinformed by my husband about the legalities of somebody who's in a relationship.
To be fair, I didn't tell you that the people that when you're in a relationship, the person in a relationship does the party until it was after his birthday, because we were camping when I told you that. And it was already after his birthday.
Way to throw me under the bus, Jeremy.
I'm just saying.
We're going to have words later. You're going to have the best party.
Good times.
Good times are had by all.
Like, Jim's the worst because he's on Facebook, so I never know when his birthday is.
Yeah, you never know when his birthday is.
He won't tell me when it is either.
Well, because he knows. He doesn't really care, to be fair. Like, it's like at some point in the year.
It happens.
It's like September-ish. It's between like July and
it's
December.
It's like Flag Day. It's one of those holidays that you just kind of forget
it's second
happens.
Half of the year.
I'm just going to pick a day and tell Jim to show up and then say, happy birthday.
Oh, pick September. I'm pretty sure it's in September.
That's fucking why there's fireworks as I was driving home.
Yeah, it was Flag Day.
Fucking A. I was like, why is there fireworks? And why are they actually good fireworks?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was just maybe some random schmoes in their backyard.
No, Raylene and I were confused. We thought there was just a gunfight in our neighborhood.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you do live in that type of neighborhood.
It was a Saturday.
To be fair, that is a thing that could happen in your neighborhood. Yeah. Yeah, no, it was totally Flag Day this weekend. It was on, I believe it was on Saturday.
And that's why there was a fucking parade going to be going on Sunday, too.
Yep.
My neighborhood's super safe. You can tell because of all the cops.
If that's what you need to tell yourself, Nathan. That's how that works.
I feel like there's a joke here, but I just don't know what it is.
The joke is my living arrangement.
So do we have any announcements this week that we need to make?
Announcements.
Wow, Brian. You there's just top energy today.
There's an event coming up here. It's like DICON, I think.
DICON in St. Louis this weekend. Woo! Locally, July 5th is a big Madison event. Well,
yep.
It's the next, and it'll be interesting because it's July 5th, so we'll see
what the turnout
who
like.
Can. But it was either July 5th or not at all. So I'm like, well, a small turnout's better than no turnout.
Yeah, no,
definitely. Kind of an announcement / idea. Jordan had a good idea, but I had to mention that because our local Jordan.
Wait, what?
Well, he had a good. I mentioned it briefly to Nathan because we'll probably talk about later the new Iron Gauntlet format. Mm-hmm. He wants to run a tournament that's three rounds. He's just at a three round tournament. Where you go and you bring your 350-point list.
It's
but
the
then
gauntlet rounds.
You play the gauntlet rounds. You actually you,
oh,
so we
just gauntlet rounds.
Just three rounds, 75 points, but you can actually simulate making your lists and picking your casters and kind of simulating that. So I might do a three-round event like that, I don't know, in the next couple months.
That'd be kind of cool. The new Iron Gauntlet is very, very different, and it's interesting.
Well, I figure we might go down later. As far as an announcement, I might do that in August. Depending, it's so hard to pick August events because Gen Con goes on, and it's just difficult.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
And then July 19th, it's not been announced, but the Des Moines is going to have their War Machine Weekend qualifier.
They still haven't announced that.
It hasn't been announced.
They're telling everyone, but it hasn't been like posted on the forums.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But it is going to happen on July 19th in Des Moines. Yes.
And pretty small, too, this time, because they didn't get the warehouse.
Well, they're going to cap it, I believe, at 40.
Yeah, that's my understanding. It's still a big event. It's just not huge like it was last time.
It will be Death Clock. They were going to have a time turns, but I said they could use all of our Death Clocks. So for everyone who is like, thank God, it's because you know we happen to have 22 Death Clocks in Madison. So we're
we do have a lot of Death Clocks.
If we go to an event and they say time turns, we just bring them Death Clocks. We're like, no. We're done with time turns.
Time turns, but we came, so no.
And unlike DICON, which we're going to lose every single game because we're like, time turns, I don't understand.
It hurts my mind to think about time turns right now.
There's one benefit of time turns. The events are shorter.
Yep.
Death Clock events just go longer because, especially the one we had a couple weeks ago in Madison. Now we have a lot of newer plays, which is cool. But when you have four rounds and every round at least two games, every round go where someone Death Clocked themselves and their opponent had 1 minute left.
Oh, jeez!
So you literally have 8 hours for four rounds.
The longest day ever.
Yeah.
But in time turns, you're still having the same time limit, overall time limit.
The master clock in time turns is shorter than death clock.
You have about an hour and a half. It's about an hour and a half.
And it varies down to about like an hour.
If you just think of the like you're saying, like time turns is usually about an hour and a half per round. And then death clock, each player gets an hour. Like right there, you can see there's an extra half hour per game possible.
Hmm.
Yeah, and with the variation on time turns, I've been to a time turn tournament where it was around an hour all four rounds. And you just felt like that tournament ended... Instantly.
I can get a 5-round tournament done by 8 p.m. normally. I cannot get I can barely get a 4-round Death Clock event done by 8 p.m. So I can't even run 5-round events in Madison anymore with Death Clock.
Well, something that you see at the higher levels, but not necessarily for a casual local event, is at the higher levels, you see people lose on clock, but their opponent has 25 minutes left. When you in the local events, when people don't play a lot, what will wind up happening is the person that's winning on clock will feel like they need to use all their time. And it's like, if you're just winning, just win. Just let that happen.
Yeah.
Well, one of our locals, and some guys, like, they don't... We have some people who don't want to win by death clock. I literally had someone, his opponent had 10 seconds left. Mm-hmm. He had almost 3 minutes left. He literally played his 3 minutes out trying to honestly win the game, failed and lost the death clock because he didn't want to win that way. But it's like, you win by time down. It's one of the win conditions.
Yeah, it's just like
whenever I see that I'm losing, I start playing to the clock.
Because that's a tactic.
Because that's a way to win.
It's like, the best thing I can do is make them use their time.
And every time I see people like make a thread on the forums complaining about that, they're like, it's dumb that you can be winning and lose on the clock. Well, then you weren't winning.
Yeah.
Like, because if you were winning, you would have won before you ran out of time.
And you can, the same thing can happen at time turns in different ways, but it's the same idea. You have a limited amount of time to win your game.
Yeah, I agree. So, although I have to admit, the idea of hardcore, where it's going to be nothing but meat mountains and Xerxes bricks and the E-Balder tier list, is breaking me a little bit.
Well, don't worry. There'll be some Gatsby 2s that break some of those molds you run on some of that. There'll be, like, yes. I'm sure Naka run Gatsby 2.
Probably.
I'm so sad he's playing in the event I wanted to play. He's playing in the 35-point Commander's Crucible event.
Is he?
And I wanted him not
to
play
in that.
You're
not going to have your default Commander's Crucible?
Well, no. I mean, it's going to be a big event because it's one of two qualifiers.
Yeah.
But I just figured he'd not play. I figured because he was playing Crix is so good at 35-point standard that I figured, I mean, I'm not going to tell what he's going to do because it's actually kind of funny. So I'm not going to ruin his surprise for people. But so once he told me, I didn't feel as bad when he told me his little gimmick idea because I kind of laughed.
That's kind
of funny. But I still wish he wasn't in my event.
I thought you were talking about playing in the regular 35.
I was going to just, like, I'm bringing both lists. And before sign up, I'm going to see who has more.
Which one's easier.
I still might play in the Crucible.
There's going to be a lot of sharks at Daikon this year. There's a lot of people hunting for that qualifier spot.
We're to the point now, every tournament is too many good. The number of good players has magnified over the last 2 years.
That is definitely true.
Which is good for the game.
Yeah.
That's an announcement. That's what I'll
Yeah, announcement.
I tried to curb them on the Iron Gauntlet thing, but I lost it again.
You did. That's true.
That's it. There's more things coming. I don't. Happen.
We're probably going to have some kind of cookout tournament at the end of the summer too,
like in September-ish or something. Yeah,
like from Labor Day weekend.
I don't know when that is.
It's Labor Day weekend. That Friday before Labor Day weekend.
Is that in September?
It is in September.
Okay.
Yeah. It's at the very end of August in September.
Why do you need to know if it's in September?
Well, because I said September-ish, and instead of saying yes, he said, Labor Day weekend, instead of just saying yes. So then I got confused it was a no.
It's sometimes
I don't know when Labor Day weekend is. I mean, it sometimes is like August 31st.
I hope not.
That would be awkward.
What?
I'm not going to an event the last weekend in August.
Yeah, he'll be busy. he's committed for that weekend.
That's
already.
Why the August event. I have to. I only have like one. I only have like between your little thing and Gen Con.
Yes.
Like my August weekend, August week
free
weekend.
The second and fourth ones are
taken. Because then, of course, I have to see what the game stores are free. Because you have to work around Yu-Gi-Oh events and Magic events and Pokemon events. Yeah. I mean, which they make the store more money, so you have to work around them.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. So, it's not an announcement, but Lock and Load happened. This is our first post-Lock and Load podcast, which is exciting for at least two of us that were there.
Lock and Load was awesome.
I watched tweets a lot. I read a lot of tweets and watched. You were a very good tweeter.
Congrats on breaking a story, Jeremy.
What story?
You were the first to tweet Berka's cards.
Oh, was I? Sweet.
Yeah. Brian told me he was very, very proud of you. And I said, I have had a great weekend.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. I did try to keep up with that. I put up a couple videos, did some tweeting. It was good. Lock and Load was amazing. I've never been to Lock and Load. You've been several times, Andy, right?
Yeah, I think it's my third one.
So yeah, so he's been several times. I had never been before, and so do you want to start since you were there a full day earlier?
All you
than
can
me?
Do is hear tapping on the table when you're playing your stupid alpaca game.
My alpaca's fighting God.
Yeah.
Well,
he wasn't
angels.
At Lock and Load.
My thing with Lock and Load, so I ended up going up early. I showed up on Wednesday night, like at like 11.
Yeah.
Many thanks out to Dallas Kemp, who actually let me stay at his place for the entire Lock and Load and was my chauffeur the entire time, which was awesome. Invitational, I got to play some folks. I played a Norwegian named Leif.
Okay, yeah, I think I met him.
Who, unfortunately, was out very late on Wednesday night, drinking. And during my game, he ended up leaving to throw up like three times.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, so then...
So you won then?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think the game actually finished. I played a lot of Zombies Keep Out, a lot of stuff there, talked with a lot of folks. Friday, I ended up just playing Iron Arena all day.
You too, my goodness. You too with your iPad.
There's no achievements. There's no achievements in this game, Katie.
This is hilarious because I was about to warn Katie of this because I was playing this game a couple months ago and Brian's like, "What's that game called?" And I told him, and then the next day he's like, "That game was fun, but there weren't achievements, so I uninstalled it." So,
it's still on my thing. I just don't play it.
What's it called?
Flip Picks.
Flip Picks.
Wow. Let him go back to their
FLIP space PIX.
So that was interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a thing called Flip Pigs.
Wow. I don't even know what to say about
that. Go on with Lock and Load. We're just going to talk about iPad apps over here.
With your minds.
Yeah, talk with your minds. And stop.
I wasn't using words.
Just text them questions for now on.
Okay, Katie and I will just text and play Flip Picks over here.
All right.
Do I need art or zoo or holidays?
Whichever one, doesn't matter. They're all the same.
They're all the same. There's different pictures.
Quiet, Katie.
Andy's talking about Lock and Load. I apologize, Andy. I was trying to be quiet.
I don't care.
No, you played against Leaf, and Leaf was awesome, but drunk, so
I'm already a day past that point.
Yeah.
He's recapping for
you. I was recapping. That was the first thing you talked about.
My goodness.
No. So Saturday we did a Who's the Boss. That was a lot of fun. And Sunday I did some more Iron Arena. I took on Monty Kroll from Blizzard fame. I had a great time playing him. And then I went home.
I'm going to interject.
Sure.
The Andy story is done. Iron Arena is great.
Yes.
Every con, it's getting harder to do non-Iron Arena things because the prizes at some cons are getting ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I have begged Privateer Press many times to expand the prints that they sell on their website. I've bought, I think, every print they have to sell through one method or another. And if they said tomorrow, oh, look, here are all of our prints, I would literally give them thousands of dollars tomorrow. But they refused to take my money. And then at Lock and Load, they had those canvas arts prints.
Oh, those canvas things were amazing.
I saw them, and I think Travis was near me because I almost punched him. I couldn't handle the inner rage of seeing that. I'm like, my God, Privateer Press, if you just want, like, $1,000 a month, just release all this crap, and I'll just, like, mail you a blank, mail you checks.
Right.
And you can just, you know, you sell me this artwork.
Yeah, it was.
It's, and then all the, they have all the, and the, that custom thing. No, the cool thing was that custom artwork where
you turn
in points, and the artist actually did like a little drawing for you.
Oh yeah, you picked whatever you wanted.
Oh, that is amazing.
One of my buddies that I was there with, he said, I want a drawing of Alice and Jake's on her day off. And so he drew like a beach, and Alice and Jake's hanging out on the beach, and she's like all casual hanging out in her Warcaster armor sitting there next to her in a pile, and it is an amazing badass picture. Andy's favorite with the carny.
The Carnivian that's jumping to try to reach a red balloon, and it says sadness in 3, 2, 1.
And the carny just looks so happy. And you're like, oh, it's going to be amazing. So sad.
Privateer Press at Gen Con used to even sell like a lot of the artwork and stuff. And now it's all Iron Arena, which is cool, but there should be another way of getting it. I mean, I understand you want some cool prizes for Iron Arena because you should.
Yeah.
But it's like, I want to also play in tournaments and do well. But man, the Iron Arena prizes are skinny and ridiculous.
I chatted with the Australian guy. So I got that really, I don't know if I showed you guys a really cool print I got. I should have brought it over. The Muse guys posted a picture of it. Chili did, I think. But I got this print that's got like Aurora on it, and it's got a bunch of other casters in the background, and it's got a caster from every faction, and it looks really, really cool. And the Australian guys came down, and James Morehouse had just won Masters. All right, so spoiler alert for those of you that didn't track at all what happened at Lock and Load.
there's one guy going, "What happened? That's amazing!"
So somebody just found out something.
They have War Machine in Australia.
So James Morehouse and Trent Dennison, the two of the four Australian guys, came downstairs, and I had my print, and I was like, "Oh my God, you won Masters! That's amazing! It's nice to meet you guys. I've been following your Doge's, Doge's Breakfast, however they pronounce it, D-O-G-E.
Doge.
I don't think they pronounce it Doge, but anyway, I've been following your videos. I'm really excited you guys were able to make it, and good luck at Iron Gauntlet tomorrow. And I was just holding my print because I had just bought my print. This was on Saturday. And I was like pretty excited about it. I hadn't found somewhere to put it to keep it safe yet. And James Morehouse is like, "That's amazing. How do I get that? That's what I want to do." And I said, "Well, it's Iron Arena points." And he's like, "Well, I just won Masters, so I have like a bunch of Iron Arena points, right?" Well, I was like, "Well, you get 10 because you participated in the tournament." And he's like, "How many does that cost?" I was like, "This one costs like 42. And I was like, "And I get 7 points per game I play in Iron Arena. So like, yeah." And he was like, "Oh, sad."
The other great thing about those custom pictures, I got to say, is one of the sad things about Iron Arena is that they always run out of prizes.
Yep.
They can't run out of having a picture drawn.
And they had an interesting way of doing the picture drawing thing because each day it got more expensive. So like day one, it cost like 36 points. Yeah, that's my print. Like day one, it cost like 36 points. And day two, it cost like 48 points. And day three, it cost like 50.
That wasn't a custom one. That's
no. They had like five of those for sale, and okay. I just snagged it. I was like, I'm gonna Iron Arena the fuck out of things until I win that print, and then I'm done.
Yeah,
and I'm out. And then it was like 56 points. So like they made it so that it's not like everyone just gets the custom drawing on day three, which was good. But I thought they had a good system for it because obviously that artist can't just sit there all day like drawing 400 things on Friday on Sunday.
He was still drawing 400.
He was
things,
still drawing so, a lot was, on Sunday.
He was he was still doing them like on Monday.
Was
Tuesday.
He really?
Yeah, he was still.
Wow.
Still. And I mean, Lock and Loaded. The benefit is that's the con. If you want the Privateer Press and experience, mm-hmm. and you want to meet the crew, and you want to kind of just get FaceTime, that is the place you go. Bar none. It's the ultimate experience for interaction with those guys. So the fact that they have their artists do that kind of stuff. Yep. And
they had their... They had a costume contest. They had their 3D modeler guys were up there, and they had 3D models of Epic Absalonia, the Legion Beast Pack. They had... what were some of the other things I saw? The new Nephilim Heavy.
You know what they had a picture of.
Huh?
You know exactly what they had.
Well, they had the Gator
of.
Battle Engine.
No,
yeah, they did.
You know,
well, they did have that too.
You want this?
Is it the TEP?
Yeah.
Oh, what? Yeah. They had the wireframe of that.
They did.
Not for sale, but you could view it and they'd rotate it for you and turn it, and you could look it all over. It was.
Truly, the sad part.
I'm going on the internet now.
Okay. Truly, the sad part is last year.
I don't know if anyone videotaped.
They had a picture of it too. It was more of a rough sculpt, but this one was basically an actual 3D model. The final cop.
They had
a release date.
They had Yaga Yaga, or I'm probably saying that wrong. The new Gator Caster. They had the actual model painted up, studio painted up in the case.
They also had the
which meant because she was just like primed when I saw the pictures. I don't know. Did they paint her over the course of it, or
I thought she was actually painted by the end?
Possibly.
They have work on stuff during it.
Yeah, the bandits I think were being worked on then too.
They had the bandits that they got fully painted by the end of the week, and then obviously they had for the speed painting competition was Berka, like so they had like five or six
Orca.
Different.
Berka 2.
Berka. They had like five Berka or six two. Different people painting Berka.
Berka is just too good not to stick.
Yeah, I can't not use that one, Andy. I'm sorry.
It,
it's amazing.
It is too good not to stick.
It is pretty fantastic.
There's a lot,
it's
like
better, it's better than like Thrios or some shit.
Well,
like
on
it's like horse
shit. Unused. Like Adoro loves to try to find a nickname and stick with it. Like Adoro, that's Adoro's big thing. Well, one of his big things is like a caster comes out and he tries to get a nickname. And a lot of times they just don't stick. But like Berka.
Berka's really
That's
good.
Just a natural.
Berka's a decent one. I don't mind Thrios because at least it like rhymes. Like you're literally just changing the first letter to a diphthong. I don't get Squish Boss.
Who's Squish Boss?
Exelon Thexis. Like Daughter of Frankenstein is trying to get Squish Boss to stick.
All weekend people were calling it Thexelon Sexis.
Yeah, yeah.
No, like, it's Sexy Exy Thexy.
Sexelon Sexis.
So the interesting thing about that pin frame is pretty cool.
I hope you appreciate it. I almost didn't tell you I got that for you. I was like, So the pin was only available. It was by far the rarest pin at the con. I would say it was.
I would say it. Technically, it was the gold framed. Lock and load.
No, here's my story about why the gold frame lock and load was not rare, because that's actually the one that people thought was the rarer one.
It's rare to get.
No, it wasn't.
No, I mean, Exelon Thexis is rare to get because you had to pay $232 to get it.
So a few people got the Exelon Thexis pin, but it wasn't one that the staffers had to trade. Staffers had a bunch on their lanyards that they had to trade with you if you had one they didn't have. And every morning, every staffer got a brand new gold lock and load. So there were, 30 staffers wandering around times 3 days? So there were 90 of those wandering around. The Exelon Thexis pins, the only way to get them was in the bundle. And the only people getting them were actual players. And they were like, nope, not going to trade it. So I walked up to a guy on Sunday. I picked up my gold lock and load like Saturday morning, like when they got the new lanyards. I was like, oh, first staffer I see, I'll take your gold lock and load. Excellent. Here's a crappy pin I don't want. And so I had the gold lock and load. And the guy was like, I would trade for that gold lock and load. I was like, I would trade that gold lock and load for your Exelon Thexis pin. And he was like, sure, why not? I literally walked around the corner, bumped into the first Privateer Press staffer I saw, and said, I'd like your gold lock and load pin. Done. It took me 30 seconds to get another gold lock and load pin.
See, after I got story Exelon and Thexis. All I think is, this is how my husband ripped someone off.
Hey, to be fair, it benefited me, and I get to taunt Travis. Like, I'm
forever.
I'm going to text him pictures of it. I'm going to take the thing on trips places and just like text.
You better enjoy that pin because I really did not want to give it
you
to
you.
You
need to make a Facebook profile for the pin so that you can be in a relationship with it on Facebook.
I would guess that Exelon Thexis is probably an available Facebook page.
Great.
You can make privateer.
You just need a unique email address. You don't need
you can,
a unique name.
Oh, really?
There are several Katie Erickson's in the
world. Oh, yeah, that's
world.
True. That's true. That's fair.
So the other thing you could do, too, is you could also have it make privateer events and invite Travis to all of them.
Well, I know what I'm
Excellent
doing later.
Texas invites you to.
So anyway, so yeah, the pins were a cool idea. We'll see if they stick.
They will.
The ones that are coming out with that have
get it.
Yeah,
get it.
I don't get it.
Get it.
I don't get it.
Because they're pins.
The ones they didn't release yet, I actually think are way cooler.
You're a prick.
Prick.
Way cooler than the ones they actually released. Because they have the new chibi ones, which are like anime style casters. They've got a chibi Veil, chibi Karchev.
Siege was the best.
No.
Karchev
was amazing.
Chibi Karchev.
I should have gotten a picture of Chibi Karchev. I liked Chibi Veil just because I really like Veil, and she was really cool. But Chibi Karchev was the best one.
Yeah.
Apparently, and I don't know how the Chibis got started, but the Privateer Press staffers have a nickname for Chibi Karchev because like before the pins were even an idea, they were like in a meeting talking about random stuff. And somebody just like freehand drew a Chibi Karchev, and like he got a nickname immediately. Like there was no way he was ever not going to be a pin because he has had a name since before the pins existed. The staff.
Are you literally not going to tell us the fucking name?
I can't remember it right now.
Oh,
which makes me so happy.
Damn it!
That was such a good build-up.
I've never been so happy to not know the punchline to a story.
Nathan might not come back in the room the rest of this podcast. I don't know.
That's fine. I get a soda.
Son of a bitch!
When you see Will Schick next, you can ask him because he was the one that was telling me the story about it. Because he had.
Are you sure it was Will? Because he didn't.
Yeah.
Have I mentioned recently, Jeremy, that sometimes I remember why I hate you?
So anyway, the pins were cool.
Funny story about Lock and Load. There's a ton of people that kept on coming up to me and saying, hey, awesome, I love your podcast and that. It was like, oh, and they asked, like, who else is here? And I'm like, oh, Jeremy's here. And like, eh.
One guy did that. One guy.
I mean, there was a few. There was a couple. A couple.
All I know is everyone that introduced themselves to me, I would like, hey, I'm Jared. Like, oh, you're Jeremy from Cruel Sins. I was like, hey, how's it going? And always the first thing out of their mouth was, I'm Valiant418 on the forums. So apparently that's my tagline is Valiant418 on the forums.
Yeah.
Every single one of them said it. Yeah. I was like, oh, all right. One guy introduced himself to me, not when I wasn't talking. I was like watching an Iron Gauntlet game. And he was like, oh, hey, you're Jeremy. And I was like, that's amazing. I've never had someone recognize me. Ever. Like, we've done some videos, and, like, it's theoretically possible to know what I look like.
Were you wearing a name tag?
I was not.
Okay.
I wasn't even wearing a Criminal System t-shirt.
I was waiting for that punchline.
No, I was wearing...
The problem with Lock and Load this year...
He doesn't have
punchlines. Yeah, he doesn't have punchlines. The problem with this year's Lock and Load is that all the tags just said attendee.
Yeah.
They didn't have names on any of them this year.
Yeah, so there was no way to know.
Sucked.
So... But the guy was like, there was no way the guy should have known who I was. Like, that's amazing. No one's ever recognized me. He's like, oh, I heard you talking like a half hour ago and I didn't have a chance to say hi. So I've just been like waiting for my opportunity.
Cheated.
I was like, oh, yeah, everyone knows my voice. No one knows who I actually am.
That's true.
And then he proceeded to tell me, yeah, it's really recognizable because it's kind of nasally. And then he proceeded to further say, not as nasally as Nathan, mind you.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I guess. Thank you.
Yeah. Poindexter is not as nasally as I am.
So, but yeah, it was really cool. The guys from Australia were awesome and said they listened to our podcast all the time down there.
I'm telling you, we need Crippled System 2016 a month in Australia.
That would be amazing.
I don't know how to financially afford that, but
it'd be amazing.
Kickstarter?
Yeah, there we go.
Shout out to Joshua. He was at the Milwaukee event, and he's apparently a truck driver who listens to our podcast. And he said hi.
Cool.
So hi, Joshua.
Hi, Josh.
Hello.
Apparently, I don't mention my user handle as much as you do because I recently found that there is a War Machine and Hordes thread on the Something Awful forums, so I started posting in it, and I mentioned that it was on the podcast. People were like, oh, which one are you? So I guess I just haven't mentioned.
Well, you don't usually say, and I'm Radio Fan on the forum.
I used to.
Like, Andy and I always say what our handle is.
People started calling me Bad Whore.
Bad Whores.
Yeah.
So I kind of stopped.
So you sort of dropped that one?
Womp womp.
Womp womp. And cool I met some of the Swedish guys. And I met a bunch. There were a bunch of international guys there, which I don't know if that's normal or not. But it was very cool.
Did you actually meet Swedish guys, or were they the Norwegians from Norway?
I met both. I did also. I hung out with.
Isn't Sweden the capital of Norway?
I met guys who introduced themselves to me as Swedish. I met guys who introduced themselves to me as Norwegians.
Okay.
So both? Question mark.
Aren't they the same thing though?
I don't know.
Which one of them is Denmark in?
I don't know. I hate geography so much.
Which one's closer to Australia?
Austria.
I meant Australia.
I'm Swedish.
Uh huh.
It's one separate country.
Okay.
I'm not Norwegian.
Okay. So then they are different. Yes. Got it. I'm so good at this game.
Connect the dots.
I don't know.
Lena
is Norwegian.
Is Finnish.
Is Finnish.
That's why we call her Dirty Finn.
Okay.
And Finland is a part of Norway. But Denmark is part of Sweden. Oh,
God. This is why I don't do middle school anymore.
That and you aren't eight?
Both. Yeah. Did you actually do middle school? Because
not very well. So anyway, I had a lot of fun in Lock and Load. I actually played in some games.
Are you done talking about Lock and Load
yet? I'm not.
Jesus.
I'm getting out the notebook now.
I cried.
It's amazing how little I care anymore.
I'm going to the iPad.
Katie, let me show you this cool new app I have.
All right. So I played.
Mine is done downloading now, though.
I played in Masters. This will be fairly quick. I played in Masters. I only played one game.
Is that what you usually say to the ladies?
Yes, exactly. I played against Garnet Germain. He was a pretty cool guy. He was playing Gorshade 3. And I was playing Bethane, and I didn't get in Belphegor turn one, so I lost that game.
Good job.
So you should get in Belphegor turn one when you're playing against Gorshade 3, as it turns out. Because then you're immune to cold and armor 19 instead of stationary and armor 12.
Well, it seems like you should always be in Bethane then forever if that makes you immune to cold.
Belphegor. It makes you immune, Belphegor Belphegor, that's makes you immune to all that. Yeah, I should have just gotten in Belphegor.
For like the whole fucking game.
Yeah. And
same
I did,
against Sorsha.
Yeah, exactly.
And against Borka, too.
Yes.
Oh, you mean Berka?
Berka. So that one ended fairly quickly, as in top of turn two. I thought I had enough magical weapons between him and my caster, but I did not. So, but then later on, I got into an 8-man scramble with Keith Christensen, Chad Schronkweiler, Craig Conroy, Danny Modesto, and randomly me. So it was like, it was all these amazing players. Like, well, I was spending the weekend. I stayed with Teamage from Chicago and two of his buddies. So they invited Teamage, and
is
I was standing.
Is Teamage Chicago?
Yeah, he could go to Dice Dojo. Like, Dice Dojo is not a long drive from him. He's married and has kids, and so he just doesn't play that
so?
Often. And so he just goes to a couple cons a year, and that's all what right. he does. But yeah, like he lives in driving distance of Dice Dojo. So anyway, so they invited Teamage and me because they were like, hey, this will be fun. We'll put a couple scrubs in so we all get our easy wins. And then I proceeded to luck sack my way to victory. I played against Craig Conroy and I beat E. Haley with Eth Agrosh because on my turn, I explained unnatural aggression. I explained how unnatural aggression works. If you damage this guy at all, start of my turn, he makes a full advance. And I said, do you understand how that works? He said, yes. You understand it works off transfers? Yes. All right, good. He activated the Stormwall, killed a Seraph, had one side gunshot left, and said, I will shoot that guy. Did exactly 1 point of damage to the guy with unnatural aggression on him. I manifest destiny defeated, and that Scythian killed a Stormwall all by itself. And that was the game. And then the game just devolved from there, obviously. But
what's also kind of cool is that you would get, because unnatural aggression, the advance happens like during your maintenance or control phase or something. Yeah. So even if Haley feats on you, you can get
doesn't
your advance
matter.
And your attack.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Now, I was far enough away, I didn't walk into melee, but I walked up to where I could walk to melee.
But hypothetically, you could is the point. It's kind of like how Pharaoh Brigands can still get full activations as long as they're making ranged against
because
other feet. Because they can pray for Hog Wild, they can shoot and then advance and forfeit their action because the shooting isn't an action.
Correct. Or vengeance or things like that are kind of tricky ways to get around it.
How many Iron Arena points are the scrambles worth?
The scramble was worth nothing because we just put it together ourselves. There literally weren't officially organized scrambles.
Oh,
six amazing players and Teamage and I were like, let's do a scramble.
You could actually do it as just Iron Arena games.
Yeah, we could
just report him as Iron Arena.
We could have reported him as Iron Arena, but we didn't want to. We didn't care. We played up in the tournament room. We used their tournament scenario markers. We rolled random scenarios each round. It was amazing. Round two, I met Danny Modesto, also at Lock and Load, who I'd never met. I'd been introduced to Craig Conroy, but I'd never even met Danny Modesto.
Oh, Danny Modesto.
He is amazing.
He is awesome.
I hung out with Danny Modesto like the whole rest of the weekend.
He was drunk.
Are you cheating on Teamage?
No, Teamage was with us. It was a three-way. It was totally legit.
No, Danny Modesto is. You have an open relationship.
Yeah, we do have an open relationship.
How does Brian feel about this?
Brian?
I'm a little hurt.
Brian's a little hurt, but he's going to hide it.
Katie, he chose you over Brian.
Brian still has Jordan.
I wish that were true.
Yeah, and Brian has Jordan.
I saw them walking the other day, and Brian was walking a good 20 feet in front of Jordan.
Well, it was funny. Actually, it's funny because I go for about an hour walk. He takes his dog for like a 10-minute walk.
Right.
So I was just coming back, and then I crossed paths right after I passed the Shea's house.
Him.
So I walk by, and I'm like, oh, hey, Jordan. And I walk by. by, and of course he's going the other direction, so we both pass in front of your eyes.
By right our house.
And I always walk by your guys. It's a great circle, so it is. Can't not walk by your house.
No, I'm aware.
So I know
sit in my living room a lot and watch people walk by my house.
It's really weird.
I walk around and watch people sitting in their living room.
So you know, it works out.
So different strokes, different folks.
All right.
So round two,
strokes do enter into it.
That's I'm sure they do. Round two, I played against Danny Modesto, who was also an amazing player. He played three Krios, and I played. Andy, I'm talking. Don't hit me. So I played Ethagrosh again.
That's a great soundbite.
And I killed all of his heavies except one Reckoner and crippled the Reckoner so that it had no arms and no cortex.
One quick question. Yeah. Are you done talking yet?
Nope, not yet.
Katie, have you seen this, by the way?
You have more points than me. I have to fix that.
So on my feet turn, I just wrecked him, at which point Thrios decided to just kill my whole army all by himself. At the end of the game, I was trying to kill Krios across a wall, needing like nines to hit at dice minus ridiculous numbers, and I just luck-sacked the way to a victory again. Otherwise, Krios was just going to kill my whole army and my caster with no help from his jacks at all. It was just dumb. Thrios is really, really, really a beatstick.
He's good.
He killed an Angelius using one of his focus. He feeded, put Ignite on himself, had the charge attack, had the mount attack, and because he has, I guess, Combat Rider. And then he just like, I'll buy one attack. Oh, your angel's dead. Across a wall. Because that's a thing that should ever happen.
He's good. All the Krioses are good.
How was his mount attack going over across the wall?
We were like partway, like we weren't all the way with the wall between us.
Oh, okay.
But we were like, okay. There was a wall between us a little bit.
Yeah.
Just because of the angle he had to come in at. So, but yeah, both were really, really good games. I would have been playing round three against Keith Christensen, but he ducked me. He's been hanging out with Fat Asian too much. So he totally ducked me. You know, I understand. I was on a roll and I was going to kick his ass.
He just stopped playing?
Yeah, he was just like, we're done for the night. Because the next day was Iron Gauntlet, so. Which he was in.
Wait, this isn't even the last day yet?
That was Saturday.
Motherfucker!
Hey, I was at least quick.
Iron Gauntlet has been talked about to death. Iron Gauntlet was really cool. I enjoyed watching the games. I think the format for this year is way, way better. Do we want to talk about Iron Gauntlet a little bit?
Anybody see my picture?
Which one?
The shot of me. So they cut back to DC and Schick, and I was sitting in the middle right behind them, giving them just a goofy face. It was amazing.
Did you find that screenshot?
I have not found that screenshot, but if somebody out there knows exactly where it is, please get me that screenshot.
Did you free Manoth John?
No, I had no idea that was occurring.
Yeah, I did, because I was sitting with like Flanzer and Danny. Everybody was like watching the Iron Gauntlet finals and then had an earpiece in listening to Manoth John's alternate audio track for Iron Gauntlet.
I love that the live feed, like live feeds are becoming like an exciting thing. We need to like live feed things.
Yeah, we definitely start talking about that.
I couldn't bring my tripod on a plane, but if we are at an event where we can bring the tripod and the video cameras, we should just record some games.
Yeah,
well, we are going to DICON.
I'm aware.
We're in a car.
And I'm
going
to bring my tripod.
Ooh. Exciting.
So yeah. That'll be fun.
And then and we should probably quickly go over Saturday's event.
The Masters?
No. No, we're done with Lock and Load.
Oh, the Saturday.
Oh, yeah, my goodness. We have a whole other tournament.
So, yeah. So Iron Gauntlet was cool. I would like to at some point talk about the change in Iron Gauntlet because I think it's for the best, but we can move on to Saturday.
I'll go first. Mine's quick. Okay. I brought Xerxes and Zal. I wanted to put Malakarn on my Xerxes list because I'm doing that for hardcore, so I wanted to see how it would work. So then I just dumped Tiberian in my Zal list and brought a bad Zal list.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to go because I have 6 week of tournaments, but I'm like, people kept going, go, come along anyway, Brian. So I came to the event. Round one, I took on Brian Culp. It was my Xerxes list versus his Zal list, which was actually ridiculous. It was kind of funny because neither of us cared what the other person's armor was.
Right.
And he had Malakarn in his Zal list, and I had Malakarn in my Xerxes list. So it was kind of like a Malakarn off. And after insane damage, I actually ended up killing his caster.
Nice.
And then I got faced up against. Then it was me versus Dan, and we could have done Meat Mountain versus Xerxes Brick, but there was lunch right after it, and we're like, yeah, let's not ever do that before lunch. So he took Jarl, I took Zal, which I think would always be. I think Jarl versus Zal to me is fun because it's a very dynamic game. There's a lot of movement, a lot of feats. Every game to me would be different.
Yep.
Especially based on train, based on scenario, a Meat Mountain versus Xerxes is going to be the same 99 times out of 100.
Yeah.
So it was, but then after round one, I'm like, you know, I'm done for the day. So I just sat outside the zones and let him win, and then I dropped. That was my day. Unfortunately, they paired me against Andy in round three, but
because he didn't know you had dropped.
Well, I tried telling him before you do pairings. We had two buys in round three.
Yeah,
which was a little ridiculous. I felt a little bad about that, but I mean, it's like because he could have evened it out and not have, you know.
But I had an extra buy. Yeah.
Oh, well.
That was my day.
Well, okay.
I was going to say, I played Luke Hunt against the other Culp, David Culp. I forget what he had.
Cool story.
Oh, it was Krios 2 Theme Force.
Oh, okay.
Which is really, really good.
Yep, all the Weapon Masters.
My reciprocators and his bastions. There was a big, like, 4x6 shallow water in the center of the table in the zone, so we just stood on opposite sides of that pond staring at each other for 90% of the game. He got up on me on attrition, but I weathered the storm, and I came back and came back, and I eventually wiped out everything he had except for Krios 2 and his horse, Gravis.
Yeah, Gravis.
He no longer had offensive power against me. He was killing like one or two guys a turn, and I still had an Enigma Foundry, so I was bringing back three a turn. And then Lucant would just charge, spend two of his seven focus, and camp the rest and kill. So I had swung the momentum back, and then I forgot that a flag was part of the scenario because I was all in the zone. So he just ran over and scored my flag and won.
Oops.
So remember what scenario you're playing, and then you don't lose. And so once I lost, then I decided to devote the rest of the day to practicing and trying wacky stuff and just experimenting with a list I was trying to try out that day. So I went 0-4, but it was a really productive day learning a lot about the list. And then at the end of the day, I decided to discard the list entirely.
What was the other list?
It's Aurora with double max perforators to be anti-meat mountain, to be anti-heavy infantry, because they can... assault or snipe or do whatever to try and do that armor piercing, and then on her feet turn they can draw back. Plus she has true path, so I have Pathfinder, which is good against Meat Mountain because it has inhospitable ground. And it worked well, and I think the list actually has promise, but then it occurred to me that what's annoying me about that list is that in a two-list format, it means I can't bring Iron Mother, and I really like my Iron Mother list. And then I drive home, I'm just thinking, wait a second, Iron Mother has 18 auto-pointing guys. Maybe that'll do well against Meat Mountain. So
it kills two a turn.
Kills two a turn, plus I have two Prime Axioms, which will also kill warders. Yeah. I don't care what your fucking armor is. The Prime Axioms will also. So I'm killing, four warders a turn. Yeah. 4 to 6 warders a turn, and he only has 10 of them, plus 5 champs. So if I'm killing 4 to 6 a turn, then in 3 turns he has nothing left.
Yeah.
And even if Mold kills one of the Prime Axioms, then he doesn't have a Mold left. And all that stuff is Pathfinder. So instead of trying to figure out how to make this list work while regretting the fact that it's replacing a list I love, I'm just going to stick with the list I love.
Fair enough.
That was my day.
My day consisted
of... Also, sorry, Brian got me a belated birthday present. They had High Command on clearance for half off, so I have High Command now.
And before Andy tells about his day, because his day was decent, I want to tell two quick stories of games we weren't in. One game was Madison Jordan versus Dan. It was Dan's Jarl list versus Jordan's Butcher One theme with all the pikemen. Mm-hmm. The three units of pikemen, two...
Cause of the Dragon, yeah.
Cause of the Dragon. Jordan lost that game for one reason. That stupid... Yeah, what's that name?
Dahlia.
Dahlia.
Just walking around
tooting. He had Dahlia in the middle of the Iron Fangs. He couldn't... So Jordan couldn't give orders, and he couldn't kill her because he can't attack her with melee.
You can't attack her with living at all.
He was living. So he basically couldn't do anything. His entire army was... at the end of the game, he threw the game away just to kill her with Butcher with a spell. Because he literally was so frustrated after
which
turn after turn.
Which is still difficult because she can transfer.
Correct, yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Butcher has to try to spell assassinate her, and she has fucking transfers.
They were able to kill the beast eventually, but basically he lost the game because of that model.
Oh, yeah.
He completely didn't. He had no answer to that model. And she just sat in the middle of the army.
She was so disparaged for the last however many years she's existed. Oh. And then in the last year or so, people are like, wait, that's good.
She's horrendous. I mean, Jeff, our troll Jeff, takes her on a few times just to F with you, and you're like... Son of a bitch.
She's a 9-point solo, a decent 9-point solo.
She's bad against Legion, because Legion can shoot her, because the reason she's unkillable by living, quote-unquote, is she's stealth, and you can't attack her from within 5 if you're living.
Right.
So Legion's just like, don't care, dead.
Right.
So Legion doesn't care, and then Crix doesn't care, which is unfortunate.
Convergence also doesn't care.
Also Convergence.
I don't think the Cephalix care either.
They're living.
Most of them are living, aren't they?
Yeah, they're living.
Yeah, but I got magic attacks from...
I don't think... Sprays.
Yeah.
Sprays have the little extra distance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was just funny to watch Jordan be defeated by that mod. He had no... He just
had no answer.
And then she'd run around in front of... She would constantly block Butcher's charge lanes anywhere. Yeah. And he didn't know what to do. He was completely befuddled. And the last game was Jordan Nock versus Dan in the finals. And... Jordan got Dan down to 1 hit point and tough. He basically killed Dan's caster three different times. They kept making tough checks. I kept surviving the turn. He eventually, I have to give it to credit, Dreadnought finally, when the game was almost over and he had like almost no mana left, he still came out of his, pulled an assassination out of his ass to finally pull it off. But it was ridiculous. And I've seen more people this tournament run out of the kill box just to give up points to survive. Both Dan and Jordan did that in their game. Dan
should have that last game.
In that last game, if Dan would have just walked back and took the... Because, I mean, he was never going to lose the 5 points. He could have just given up two.
He was up, like, 50 models to one. Like, he had attritioned him all the way down.
But I've just seen more and more people running out of kill boxes to live. It was just interesting.
Yeah, that's how my last game ended, too. He was deathly afraid of an Earthbreaker trampling up to kill him. I decided that since I got my third Earthbreaker at Lock and Load... That's all I was going to play, is I was going to play Gorton and three Earthbreakers. And that is what I did. My first game, my opponent, I took on Darius. And unfortunately, it was Zach, I believe. And he had Darius. And I forgot about Fortify.
Yep.
More so, I forgot about everything that Fortify does, like as in no moving. And then I popped my feet with Gorton, tried to drag him, and I couldn't drag him. And then I was like saddened. So I just dropped all difficult terrain templates around him in his caster, and he didn't like that.
It's like, you're speed 2, and this is rough terrain. Go fuck yourself. No, you're
speed 1. Speed all of his jacks were speed 4. Yeah. He craned out his Centurion. His Centurion walked an inch to try to get the Gorton. It was an eighth of an inch out, and then he didn't have enough focus because he put all of his focus out there. He couldn't cast Fortify again. And that turn, that's when...
So then you feed it again, and that time you got him.
Yeah, that's when I got him. Yeah, I just Earthbreakered and then that. Second round, I took on Jordan again. Jordan Knack. And he just basically concentrated everything onto Gorton. I should have just camped all my focus on Gorton, and it would have been a lot better. But
I'm sad. I think my Xerxes block would have enjoyed your three Earthbreakers.
I don't know. Like 13s.
13s. What?
They're pal 13s.
Pal 13s all the way around for all my attacks, and you got a low.
Oh no! I mean, you're gonna obliterate a bunch of them. But I mean, it was just what's left of me, and
It would have been kind of fun. I after playing it, I realized that list. Well, I played it before. That list is amazingly fun. My third round. Since I got the bye, I played the other bye. I ended up bringing out my Cephalix. Just because it was not a tournament game. It was
had already, quote unquote, won your games.
Yep. So I play my Celefix, and I beat Morvana with it.
You just said Celefix.
Celefix, yeah.
Telling me you weren't saying Celefix. You weren't saying Celefix.
So I won that game, and then my last game I ended up taking on Krios, just regular Krios, and against Jason, I think from Chicago as well, and I... Three Earthbreakered, just walked up. And I played it the way I should have played it in the first place, which is basically go up, feet with Gorton, kill things, and then have Gorton hide behind an Earthbreaker for the rest of the game.
All he did, you had one Earthbreaker damage. He didn't even attack the two Earthbreakers.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, he had almost no time. You guys were like down like 10 seconds each when that game ended.
Not 2 minutes each.
Yes.
2 minutes each. But
I mean, I don't understand how he used 58 minutes and did nothing.
And did 20 total damage to your army.
Well, what happened for him is, again, I feed it, and then I popped the rough terrain templates all around his things, and he can't move. He can't retaliate. On the turn that he was about to go in to kill me, I walked up an Earthbreaker to his book, rolled 3 attacks on both port guns. So I shot 8 shots into the book. Killed it, and then the last shot they knocked down all of his jacks.
Nice.
The other Earthbreaker walked up, put down rough terrain templates around the jacks. It was not a good thing. He just kept on running everything into melee with me, and that was all he could do.
The three Earthbreaker list, it's like a two. It's the same thing as a 2 claws list. Some lists just have no answer to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the other reason why I'm going to go back to running the Iron Mother, is to make sure shit like that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, or like, I brought this list, and I brought, you know, I'm playing Menoth, but I also have a Galleon because I can. Well, now you don't have a Galleon.
The Iron Mother list, in my opinion, it's a lot like my Peace Guard list with a Mark 1. I pulled that list out. It was a very shenanigan bullshit list, but it was there to counter every other bullshit list in the game.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm like, Mark 1, I'm like, okay, my opponent has bullshit Peace Guard. It was 100% Peace Guard drop. Bullshit.
To punish them for bringing bullshit. Yeah. You're like, I will out-bullshit you then.
And then everyone else got my other list because I didn't care. I kept the Peace Guard list. That was like it was just my Cold War list. and it almost never lost because it was amazing.
I don't know. I'm not going to play the 3 Earthbreaker all the time. I like it. It's fun.
Well, I think you'll like it, but I think you're going to run it. You're going to have a lot more events where you do bad than you do good with it.
And it's
frustrating.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. I'm going to run into like a Crixlist and I'm just going to get baned.
Yeah.
I'm going to lose all of them.
It would be so painful. Yeah. No, it's.
The only thing I can hope for is getting lucky knockdown shots and stuff. I mean, I guess Bane's is not going to help because they have Dead Rise, but yeah.
Realistically, how many Colossals do you guys think Ossian can kill on feet turn his army?
Ossian? One.
Yeah.
He can't kill two. Yeah, he can put somebody, the hurt on two.
Again, in the Something Awful forum, somebody was talking about how they heard Muse saying that Convergence literally can't beat Ossian, and I'm like, I don't think he kills two.
He killed the crap out of one and then hurts the other one.
Right. But if you have six mechanics dry humping, then you come back from that.
Yeah.
Chris, I haven't really played Ossian.
He has like everything. Like if I'm popping out six of those reflex servitors, because the. Well, not I mean,
the Ossian list has way more than it needs to kill one. Like it's going to kill one.
Yeah.
But killing two is tough. And even killing one under Lucan can be hard.
Yeah. No, this would be Mother.
Yeah. Under Mother, one is super dead.
Under Lucan to be a little bit difficult too because you'd have D-cell going.
Yeah,
and that helps. That helps a lot, man. Running around with my Cephalix.
Well, most of what gets it done for Ossian is the Strike Force, which don't care about.
True, D-cell, I guess right, that's
exactly.
True.
Yeah. They don't ignore the feet.
They don't.
Yeah. Oh well.
But yeah, that's events.
Huzzah!
And we're 50 minutes in.
Change corner. Corner, Katie.
I'm done. I was really angry about something earlier.
Don't be done. Be angry.
I listened to angry. A lot of Lock and Load, and then there were some games
that
I played.
How does
that
not make you angry?
Yeah.
I got bored.
Kate, you look fat today. Go!
Wow.
You don't actually look fat. I was just trying to make you look angry.
Wow.
You actually look quite lovely today. I do like that shirt. That's really cool.
Thanks. So, and look, you can see my bra.
I was going to say, does that count as seeing your bra? Because that's more like a tank top. Oh, no. I could not see your bra.
Oh, but as, like,
I thought that was like a sports bra or something.
Oh, there you go.
There, okay.
Every time I see my bra now, I think of you.
Oh,
what?
Every time I see your bra, I think of you too.
Thank you.
That's so wrong.
I was
going
to say, that went to like Nathan not having a birthday party to Nathan having a birthday party again.
That was so wrong on so many levels.
He always makes the comment. Every time he can see my bra, he tells me about it.
The weird thing is when you don't, he just texts you, I can see your bra.
I can see your bra.
Yeah, and you're like,
and you look out the window and you go, yep, he can.
Saturday she was camping and she just, I can see your bra.
I thought, well, there, see? That's why I think of Nathan.
How was camping, Kate? Was your first camping experience?
It was really good. It was really funny because Malcolm's never been in a boat before, but he really likes water because he's a lab. And so he went in the canoe and then he went right out of the canoe and then he was really surprised because there wasn't any land under it. It was just water. So he like freaked out and was like trying to run around, but then we pulled him back in the canoe and it was really funny.
Yeah, he managed to exit the canoe and re-enter the canoe without tipping the other two of us out.
That is impressive.
Which was really amazing. And then he spent the rest of the time in the canoe trying to tip the canoe. Like, I'm going to just suddenly lurch to this side of the canoe. I'm going to jump over to this side of the canoe.
He's having a good time. He tried to eat a lot of the water, and he tried to empty the lake. It was very adorable.
Yeah, when he has a pool in our backyard, his favorite thing to do is to like dig at the pool to empty it out because it's fun, whatever. And so he was trying to empty the lake, which did not work. And like as time went on, he got more and more frustrated. He's like, "All right, I'm gonna two paw this bitch. Like I'm gonna dig more, and I'm gonna empty this lake." Well, and the canoe's filling with water.
And when he would two paw, he would like fall over, and then he would freak out because he didn't want to go back in the water because there was no land in the water. And so it was really funny.
That was pretty good times. He was exhausted when we got done. We got back from canoeing. He was just like zonked. Oh, but yeah, it was fun.
So Katie's corner.
So this is what I was really upset about. I have to take a couple of classes, and one of the questions, one of them is like psychology for business, and it's really dumb. And one of the questions was, what influences personality more? Is it environment, like what you grow up in, or is it genetics? And everybody in my class, and the teacher must have said something because I take the class online, but you can go and like sit in the class. But everyone was like, well, it's clearly environment because when I'm around some people, I act differently than when I'm around other people. So my personality is different. And your personality does not equate to your behavior.
I was about to say that exact thing.
and like I made that point and I was like, you're not changing your personality. You're just socially adapting so that you're not a complete asshat to somebody, even if you want to be. And then I was like, so like if somebody switches departments, like we have found out that one of our coworkers is really good at X, but I don't think it's because because she's like magically good at X because of her new environment. She always was, and now she has the opportunity to show that. It's different. It's not changing your personality. It's changing your behavior or exhibiting a different behavior. They're not the same fucking thing.
Now I want to change my personality now.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just to make
you. But anyway, there's like 30 people in the class, and I was the only one who said genetics. And fine, I know that there are a lot of studies out there that show that environment has a huge impact on your personality, and I can agree with that. But like, you are who you are, regardless. Like, barring some traumatic event, you are who you are. It doesn't matter who you're around. Like, you might act differently, but your personality isn't any different. That's my corner. Suck it.
I do not have a comeback.
No, yeah, exactly right. As you were saying it, I'm just thinking, that's not personality, that's behavior. So I'm
right?
Yeah.
And so I was getting mad at Jeremy because I was like, I hate this class. Everyone in this class is so dumb because they, like, I'm having a different conversation than the rest of them because they're like, oh, no, I act differently, so it might be a ethic merman. And he's just like, I don't care because I don't have to interact with these people. And so I told him that I was redirecting my anger at him because obviously he agrees with them since he is not as angry as I am about this.
I wasn't angry enough, so I was in trouble.
And the thing is, like, seems fair. That's
Katie, why is your
thing.
Personality changing?
Because I'm around you guys.
It's double frustrating, like you were just saying, when people are having a different argument than you are. Like, you're trying to discuss, like, even you can discuss the root, you know, cause of personality being nature versus nurture.
Sure.
But that's a separate thing than whether personality and behavior are two different things.
Right.
And so even if they all agree to one, once you start discussing the other thing, that's a separate conversation. And when people can't get that, and like when one person's discussing one thing and you're like, that's literally not what I'm trying to talk to you about, it's so aggravating.
I've never seen you aggravated.
I know. Well, what situation. I told her was, I'm sure her professor is an idiot. Like, based on what she's told me about the class, her professor's an idiot. And the professor...
And a fan of our show.
Probably.
Probably.
And her professor probably said something in the lecture to the effect of, this is what personality is. I'm going to make up my own meaning because I'm a professor.
Right.
And, like, I'm sure that's what happened because everyone else in the class was, like, clearly towing what to them was the party line to get the grade. Like, none of... Like, some of them may be idiots. All of them may be idiots, but they're at least smart enough that there's no way all of them randomly decided. Like, if it weren't for something she'd said in the class, you'd have, like, more of a coin flip situation.
Right.
Where half of them would be stupid one way and half of them would be stupid the other way. But Katie doesn't watch any of the lectures, because why would she? She's able to do the class without watching the lectures.
Well, just because I'm taking two classes, and one of the classes is not retarded, and they're like, hey, in order to do this assignment, you have to actually read the book. And then there's her, and she's like, how do you feel about annual reviews?
So he doesn't watch the lectures.
I don't watch the lectures. I don't read the book. My plan is to cram up all the terminology the day before the test.
So we'll see how that goes.
When's the test?
I don't know.
Remember when you're cramming up personality or cramming up terminology, that personality is the things you are currently doing.
Right. I imagine that that's true.
So, yeah.
My Zappity. Personality is that I like sitting, listening to Lock and Load stories.
Good for you. I will choose to pretend to believe,
like,
that.
We missed a week, then had an episode, then missed a week, then had this episode. So we've had like one episode in the last month. And so the listeners come back to that shit.
I have one more important comment.
No,
this isn't in my notebook at all.
Put the notebook away.
I have one important comment. So the finals for Masters, James Morehouse versus Mike Preer, was won on top of two by Double Stones Teleport TK of Getterx. And all I want to say is that if Mike Preer had a good circle player in his meta, he would know better than to fall for that sort of rookie first tournament bullshit that he lost to. Because nobody loses to a Double Stone Teleport.
Yeah.
Except idiots. I mean, let's be honest.
That's true.
So he must not have a good circle player in his meta.
Speaking of the double teleport thing, I never got that off as a successful thing until I started playing people outside of Madison.
That's because people in Madison are like, kill the stones right now.
Like, people, like I had never had a set of stones make it past, like, round two or three. Like, three tops is, like, as far, unless I'm not playing them correctly and they're, like, way back behind everything and not doing anything. But people just, like, let stones live
forever outside of Madison.
Like, I end the game and I have, like, two complete set of stones. I'm like, I don't know how this happened. This is amazing.
It's great, isn't it?
It's great.
Well, the best thing is, so the guys from Australia did this video thing where you could pay to help them get here to Lock and Load, and they did these private videos. And they made them all public recently, and I was watching one of them, and it's, like, 15 minutes of James Morehouse talking about shifting stones. And he's like, I'm gonna do on this video. I'm gonna talk about Shifting Stones. One of the things I like to try to project is that Double Stones teleport threat, and it should never ever happen. Like, it's just not a thing that's ever gonna happen. But my opponent has to then play around it, or else they lose because they're an idiot. And then that's literally how he won Masters. He was like he's literally on the video saying, "There's just no way you ever get somebody with this because it's a really static. Like, you right. just look at where the stones are, and it's like, okay, so he's back here, but he's really up here
right.
because he's sitting in the small stuff. Like." Don't be an idiot. You
Especially
know where he really is.
E. Kruger too, yeah. wasn't he? So yeah. it's like
TK.
It's I know. So yeah, let's see. You can move 8 inches. If it's a large base, it's 10 inches. So you got 20 inches with double teleport plus 2-inch reach plus 2-inch TK.
It's 2 foot.
Plus, yeah. plus another 2-inch TK if he TKs their caster.
Yeah, like he
plus
didn't even
Gallows.
He didn't even TK his caster. The best part was without TK, he had Getarex. Like, where he put Getarex down, he could have just killed both of Kreas' heavies and probably just won the game that way anyway. Like, even if he hadn't quite gotten to his caster at top of two, he was just going to kill the Fire of Salvation and then probably kill or at least super, super fuck up his Vanquisher and just be like, so I guess that's that. Now I don't have to worry about those two heavies for the rest of the game.
It's interesting at the high-level game, when you sit down, you're thinking, okay, I'm fighting this opponent. I need to, you're like, okay, I need to factor in these like 55 things. And you just leave one detail out. Like, yeah. It's hard to think the detail is the stones, but it's like, you're like, okay, I'm playing the scenario. The scenario can do this. I need to factor this. And he has Getarex, so he has reach. I have to factor this, and he can do this. And like, oh, yeah. And then you forget the one thing, the obvious thing. It's easy. Sometimes it's weird how it's easy to forget the obvious one.
It is.
When you're metagaming yourself, you're like, okay, on turn four, I have to do this. On turn five, I have to do this. But on turn two, I need to not die.
He clearly thought he was safe because Kreas was on a one camp, had no upkeeps on himself, like just hanging out, just like nobody like in front of him or near him, just kind of hanging out. Yeah. It was
We'll go Australia. So they should get. I don't want to do. I know people do Kickstarters to extend people places,
right?
And that's cool. But I don't want to do that. So, if someone was to make one for us to send us somewhere,
you'll allow
like,
it.
If Australia, so let's make a Kickstarter to send Critical System to them.
I'd
allow
totally
that.
Go
that way, it's
guys.
Not me making the Kickstarter. And that
if somebody Somehow Kickstarters and raises enough money to pay for me to go to every convention and have video equipment and also an annual salary, maybe like $30,000 ish, I will take over for what Maddie K used to do. I'd be willing to be the new Maddie K and do a full time job, go to every convention if you also paid
my
annual salary.
You're a giver. I saw Maddie K at Lock and Load, by the way. He's fine, for any of you that were wondering.
Yeah, he's fine.
He lives in Texas now.
It won't smash it.
He's not, I thought he was in Houston, but he's actually in Austin, I guess.
Is he? I talked to him a little bit.
No,
he just mentioned he was in Texas. I didn't ask where. All right,
Zappity Grumbles.
All right, you two need to stop. Like, hello?
It won't let you smash it because it is actually a correct pixel. You can't smash a correct pixel. It just gives you a strike and says no dummy.
Yeah, Katie, forget it. So who was
right, it? So I got the Zappities and the Grumbles.
I don't
open.
Have Grumbles.
These are Katie Marie. We're doing Zappities now.
I'm very upset because I accidentally hit the wrong button, but I would have gotten 100%, and now I didn't get 100%. I'm very upset about it.
Wow. We're gonna have a new Katie's Corner about 100%.
Goddamn flip picks! End of Katie's Corner.
All right. So, Travis or Sam says, favorite summer activities?
Disc golf.
I like disc golf and camping. Both are very fun and both are summery.
Disc golf and movies.
We get summer Fridays. We get half day every other Friday.
What? It's not really an activity.
It's an activity.
It's more like a personality.
Wow.
No, it's 12 o'clock disc golf is what it is.
Yeah, it is. Andy, nothing. Nate?
Wishing my AC could go higher.
Yeah, I hear that.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Music or movies while you paint? Paint.
movie.
Andy?
Watch movies.
Both?
At the same time or just individually?
No, it depends. I'd rather paint with people, though.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's paint fun. Alone, it's best.
No.
I hate, for some reason, if I'm painting near someone near me, I'm going to punch him in the face really
Brian
hard.
Brian paints the way he has sex, all by himself.
I do. It's I do that, and
angrily.
And success, and very successful.
Don't walk in on Brian when he's having sex with himself. He'll punch you.
Wait a minute. Let's back up for a minute and think about Andy's statement. Why would you in the first place? Like, you're like, well, before I would have, but now I know he's angry.
It was... No, I'm just a general warning to Jordan not to do that.
Right, that's but you why, gave a reason. Though. Like, yeah.
Oh whatever.
That's why Bo's scared of you.
Yeah. Movies with commentary tracks are the best thing, because that way, because you know what, you can't watch a brand new movie while painting, because you're not going to fucking you stop painting.
Yeah.
So it has to be a movie you've watched like 50 times or a new movie with a commentary.
Movies with commentary tracks are the best thing in general. I fucking love commentary tracks.
I like
I won't buy a movie on DVD if it doesn't have a commentary track. I don't care how much I love the movie.
I like the commentary track on the first like 3 or 4 seasons of The Simpsons.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are really super good.
Or Galaxy Quest.
Galaxy Quest. It's
the best commentary track ever. No.
That's an alternate audio track.
Oh, that is an audio track. You're right. I apologize.
Yeah. Which commentary tracks too. I like that Reno 911 Miami had 4 commentary tracks, because it had half the cast, and then the other half of the cast, and then it had that first half of the cast again in character, and then the other half of the cast in character.
Spinal Tap did that too.
Yeah. Commentary tracks in character are pretty damn good.
That's pretty funny.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Have any of you seen the new Tom Cruise movie, Is It Worth Seeing at the Theater?
Yes.
Yes. Highly recommend it.
I would like to maybe go see it tomorrow since it's discount movie day. But we'll see.
I posted a thing on Facebook about Steve Port posted this thing as why you should see it just tomorrow, because it's a fun sci-fi movie that's not a remake. And if this movie fails, there's more reasons to make remakes. Why make an original movie? I mean, it's based on something, but I mean, it's not a sequel.
Is it based on Groundhog's Day?
Basically,
yeah.
No,
it's really enjoyable. And then almost 8 people have shared eight people have gone to see the movie and have shared my link. It's like my most shared thing I've ever put on Facebook.
I'm gonna see it this Thursday.
Nice.
Yeah, I would like to maybe go see it.
Yeah,
go see it Thursday.
It's cheaper on Tuesday.
Yeah, go see it tomorrow then.
It's the same price on Thursday too.
Also, you
at a different theater. Like one theater.
Also, I have plans Thursday.
The AMC theater is $7.50 on Thursdays,
which is $2.50 more.
Yeah, it's two.
I understand that, but it's okay. Whatever. Whatever.
I have plans Thursday.
You're going to complain about $2.50.
Yeah,
and see it with a friend.
Seeing it with a friend is more fun, but I have plans Thursday.
It's all right.
Well, we can go out with my friends Marissa and Greg on Thursday. If they would be interested in seeing a movie, maybe we can do like a 6-person thing.
Maybe. Yeah, because Raylene and I are going with her son for his birthday. And because he works for AMC, we could see the movies for $1.
Nice.
Sexy times.
That is sexy times. Zappity?
Gumbo.
How viable... Oh, we didn't even talk about the new Iron Gauntlet format, hilariously, but this question's about it. Viable are Mercs and Minions in the new Iron Gauntlet format?
Mercs completely, Minions is not really. Well, the Ishmanats is good.
Sidetrack too. We actually have 2 other topics we need to talk about eventually. It's our next podcast. We need to.
We
talk
also
about
need to
those.
Send out the contest winners. We have addresses. They're sitting there for you guys. Like they're sitting in the email.
Are they in Katie's purse.
No, you guys have the prizes.
You have the prizes.
You guys have the prizes, and I left them in the mailbox so you could mail them out. Like in our email box,
have
you guys have access.
No.
Andy has.
I have them.
Okay,
they're somewhere.
All right. So
hey, I moved.
Yeah.
Boxes.
So the addresses are sitting there whenever you're ready, Andy.
No, I give you the models. You guys send them. So
I don't have
Katie's
the models.
They got a gestate.
Well, if we get them from where they are to outside to found, it's a step in the right direction.
That would be a step in the right direction.
You need to at least get them to Katie's purse. That's the staging area for prizes.
Okay.
Zappity.
Gumball.
Well, I want to say one thing on that though. The actual fucking question.
We had a question.
Yes, Mercs are perfectly viable. And my favorite are the people are like, what if somebody runs like all Cephalix and then all Searforge and then Shay's Theme Force and then they can't make a 75. First of all, if you have Pirate Boat and Searforge, you're gonna be able to make a Highborn or a 4-star. Don't be a fucking retard. I mean, don't be a fucking idiot. Retard's a disparaging term, Katie. Jeez.
Sorry.
Jeez, Katie.
You used it earlier talking about your class being retarded.
I know, I did. And then I felt bad because I had a coworker who's yelling at me all the time.
I felt bad because in my head I'm like, Katie, don't use retard. And then I just did it. So that's how hard it is. Anyway, number two,
you're retards.
Number one, they still can make a 75-point list. Number two, even if they hypothetically couldn't, then they lose and good. They can go fuck themselves. If you go into the format without the possibility to mathematically make a 75-point list, how stupid are you?
Right.
Like, you can't blame somebody who's like, oh, my goodness, surprise!
Yeah, because, like,
Jordan
was talking about it. He was like, maybe I'll, like, add a unit of Doom Reavers to, like, one of my non-Doom Reaver lists so that I can do 75-point Doom Reaver spam if I make it. Like it requires that much thought. It's like, well, if I make it, do I have options at 75 points? Yes, no. Like, it's a cool format. It's not rocket science.
It is not. And people are just fucking
minions
dumb.
Is hard. Minions is hard because Minions is just hard at 75 points, even if you have access to everything, because of the way it's split.
Yeah. I mean, well, 2 of your lists are going to be the same packed, which means you're going to be able to. I mean,
and they're probably going to be Gators, and you're probably going to be locked into running a million Gatorman posse, but meh.
Oh, well, gee, you think Gator players are sad to run a lot of Gatorman posse?
Yeah, it's too bad, because Gatorman posse
I have 5 Gatorman units on the table.
Yeah, they're pretty bad.
Anyway, if you can't make a 75-point list, you're an idiot, and you deserve to lose, idiot.
So Nathan says no, they're both fine.
Idiot. Zappity.
Grumble.
Gumble.
Soccer, meh or yes? Meh.
Meh.
It's
US won today, go who? I don't care. I can't even.
It depends. If you go and watch it in like a pub where everyone is super excited to watch it, then it's really fun.
You know what else is really fun to do at a pub where everyone's excited and drinking? Anything at all. Literally anything is fun in that environment.
This is different. It's different.
Okay.
So soccer's meh, but I mean, it's always going to be meh because there are strictly better sports that are the same as it, like mm-hmm. lacrosse and hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no reason to watch soccer when lacrosse exists, and a lot of people don't even bother with lacrosse because hockey is on ice and cooler and people beat each other up, whatever.
Yeah.
There's two things soccer could do to at least get my respect and make me not hate it and just be ambivalent towards it. One is that soccer fans need to stop bitching and moaning and complaining and mocking American football. It's hand egg. Just because they're both called football, you don't have to make it a competition between them. They're completely different sports.
Yeah.
It's like comparing baseball and boxing if they were both called baseball. Like, they're not the same fucking sport. And number two, instant replays, after the game, you don't even have to interrupt the game, just after the game, go over and look at everybody who fell down, and if they fucking flopped, suspend them for a non-negligible number of games and fine them $1 billion so that your game isn't a fucking joke.
Yeah. I was watching, one of the World Cup games was on while I was at Lock and Load, I guess.
Yeah, it was Brazil versus Croatia, I think.
Yeah, we went out for Mexican food, and so in the restaurant, the game was on, because, you know, it's thematic and whatever, and they like soccer. So, we're watching the game, and literally both teams were down a man because in the replay that I don't even know anything about soccer, and I could tell both of them were just like, oh, I fell down.
No, maybe there were snipers. Maybe snipers shot the both, and that's why they fell down when they're nowhere near somebody.
And so both teams are playing down a man because of total flops.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is a sport that people watch?
And I had a buddy from Europe who was like, no, that's part of the sport. It's part of the tactics. It's fuck you. That's not tactics. It's fucking awful.
That's why the last, like, 5 minutes of basketball is my most hated thing in the world. When everybody's foul, just fouling each other out, foul. You know, just to get that time down.
See, ironically, the last 5 minutes of basketball are my favorite five because it becomes tactical at that point. I am so bored the first 55 minutes, like, oh, look, another 2 points.
Well, I hate the abuse of the clock at the end is just what I hate. I wouldn't mind hustling down at the very end, but I just hate the abuse of the clock at the final parts basketball.
But at least it doesn't bug me as much as a soccer because at least those are real fouls and they're like a tactical decision. Like, it's literally like, if I foul him now, blah, 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 and then they just grab the guy and both teams know what's happening and becomes tactics as opposed to just, oh my goodness, he was within 20 feet of me and I think he killed me. Like, fuck you.
Zappity.
Rumble. Zappity. 10 out of the 16 slots for Daikon Masters are from 35-point events. Brilliant or bad?
Sad. It happens because big cons can't just run off 50-point events because it takes too long. I understand it. But 35-point games are so boring.
I am less upset about the 35-point thing, although I am upset about the 35-point thing, than the two of the qualifying events run at the same time as each other.
Yeah.
That actually upsets me.
Well.
Yeah.
You've only got so much time.
Yeah, I realize that. Yeah, I get that.
But it is difficult because you can't do everything 50 points. You just can't at a con. It's impossible.
Yeah.
It would be nice if at least one feeder was 50 points. Agreed. But oh well. I mean, well, and there is hardcore, but it's not the same thing.
Well, I mean, the other thing is people bitched about Lock and Load and the way Lock and Load was run because if you watch, again, the Dog's Breakfast, you can hear Keith Christensen explaining to Hungerford, hey, by the way, there are more people on your wait list for Masters than in Masters. How about we run a second flight? There's this big room. Let's use it. And Hungerford's like, nope, we're running the spell draft, and we don't want to make the spell draft move down to the Iron Arena room, so no. And had they actually made that change to let everyone, like, just run two flights of Masters, I think the way they did it was perfect. It was 7 games, 2 days. The whole thing was DNC. You got to play your list. If you liked your list, you could literally play the same list all day the first day. That's legal. I really liked it. And then the feeders were Masters events. You still had your 3 lists because it wasn't really a feeder event. It was just play in. I actually liked the way they did that because the qualifier for Masters should bear some resemblance to Masters, in my opinion.
You mean a Delta Con?
No, this was how they did it at Lock and Load.
Okay.
It was literally just Masters. It was just Masters all the way through. Masters was a 2-day event. If you were in the top 16, you played the second day. Gotcha. If you weren't, you didn't. And it was perfect. In my opinion, I thought they did it really. I think they should have run a second flight because they had 96 people on the wait list.
Yeah, but to be honest with you, that second list though, on the wait list wasn't probably indicative of how many people are on there because we had 60-some people on the wait list for Who's the Boss, and we barely filled out 60.
True.
And that was after we pulled, I think off of the actual list of all the people who were signed up, we pulled maybe 20 people off of that.
That's
the
true.
The rest were sign-ups after the effect.
There were 90 people on the wait list that were around the room for Masters after they finished filling the open spots. Like Masters, they would have filled a second flight.
Wow, that's fascinating. Zappity.
Anyway, grumble. Now 75 points. Is bigger better?
No. I don't like 75 points. Too wonky. It feels so much like 100 points Mark 1, and 100 points was just too wonky.
I'm not excited about 75-point Meat Mountain. I've kind of theory-crafted what it turns into, and it's terrifying for me.
The game gets weirder because when you ask... Because it's like, if someone has had the Colossal on something, it's not a big deal. But then when someone's like, I'm going to add in, you know, 30 people of this and 20 of this and, you know, whatever. It makes 75 points, it's going to be so... Because SKU lists are now the new thing.
Yep.
SKU lists always existed, but the popularity of them, I think, has really soared in the last year and a half.
Yeah.
That 75 points is just going to make the SKU even that more ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll play some of it. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what some of these lists look like.
A full 75 point tournament, I don't think is the new hotness, but I don't mind it as the final two rounds in Iron Gauntlet.
Fair enough. I do think that I really liked Iron Gauntlet this way better than last year.
Oh God, yes! I'm so glad this is public now, because the whole time people have been bitching about how terrible Iron Gauntlet is for the last year, I've just been biting my tongue because I just want to say, don't worry,
it'll be sweetling. Fine.
It'll be fine.
It'll be okay.
It's dead.
Yeah. Do you have an opinion on 75 points, Katie?
She's crushing candy.
I am crushing candy. I know the problem with that 35 points is that you have too much of an uneven matchup between different factions, and 50 points balances that out. And what I've heard about 75 points is that you swing back the other way, where you now start to get things that are unbalanced. And I wonder if it's because we don't play it enough, or if it's because you actually get things that are unbalanced. What do you think?
Okay, Zabity.
Combo.
Finally saw the new RoboCop movie. Is attempted murder not a crime in Nathan's book?
Good. Oh, excuse you.
Zabity.
No. The attempted murder is their excuse to make him a villain. Until the attempted murder, he does nothing wrong, which is why the attempted murder is inexplicable.
Yep.
That's true.
He's sitting in the office and says, RoboCop knows all about the literally nothing illegal we've ever done. We better get him. That's the conversation they have.
Yeah. Like, it might be stuff that's, like, morally questionable, but it's not legally questionable.
And I even support him morally. Because the thing is, RoboCop has violent... I'm sorry, Detective Murphy, because there's no fucking RoboCop in that movie. Detective Murphy has violent reactions every time he sees his wife and son. Like, he flips the fuck out and starts attacking people, so they keep him away from his wife and son. I think that's a good move. You have a death machine that randomly lashes out when in this environment. Take him out of that environment. How's that evil? Fucking terrible movie.
Evil. It's evil.
Ah, get that guy.
Nathan Rage. Zappity?
Gumball.
Gatsby 2 blew me out of the water. As a Kator player, what's my best option? Doom Reaver spam seems to work.
They are Excarnate immune.
Yep. They're Excarnate immune. They're Mat 7. They hit all of the things. They're Berserk. They're pretty good.
Yep.
Anyone have a different answer?
First blush, that seems good.
Sersha 2.
Tough models.
Tough models aren't bad.
Yeah, I mean, just...
Yeah.
Yeah. Hypothetically, it's all about the Excarnate, because Kator is all infantry spam, and so the Doom Reaver is going to be the safest thing. I mean, if you can have high defense like Iron Flesh, Kayazi, or something that don't get hit by the Excarnate, that's also decent, but...
Really hard.
Safer to just not have Excarnate targets.
Yes. Zappity.
Yep, rumble.
Do you guys have any good crit devastation stories? None of us play Kator, so no.
Mercenaries. Trollbloods.
Mules in Mercenaries first.
Do you have a good crit devastation
in Mark
story?
One,
no. Mark 1,
in Mark
1, cool
the devastation, they all went different directions. Because they all went away from the center. Or no, you rolled random directions for each of them?
Yeah.
Whatever it was, they went in like 20 different directions, and that was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, that just made... In tournament play, that just made it horrendous to bring a mule in there. It was like, get the drunk. Shit goes everywhere, and then my 10-minute turn was just used.
Mark 1, Madrick 1 scroll of no, instead of being no damage, was that attack never happened, and you got to see all the results of the attack before you chose to execute it. So I was hit Madrak and like four other models were hit by a crit devastation by a mule, so my opponent had to do all the throws, everything moved, Madrak took his damage, I did all my tough checks, and then went, no, I didn't like that, and rewound it all.
Oh, God. That's terrible.
Yeah. They changed that ability.
Yeah, good.
That's my story.
Yeah, there's...
This is a pretty good story.
Thank you.
Fun crit test. The mule and Mark 1 is the best. So that's our story.
Zappy then.
Grumble.
I have a tall maniac banging my...
Hold on. I saw this question. I want to start with Katie and go clockwise because it's going to be increasingly likely to get the correct answer. The last three of us might be tied, but you two will not get the correct answer for this.
Okay. Go ahead. I have a tall maniac banging my head up against a barroom wall, looking me right in my eye. He just asked me if I paid my dues, and I have no idea what to tell him. Advice?
Katie?
Shake your tatas.
Digging it.
That's a good answer.
Jeremy?
I'm empty.
Andy?
Have I paid my dues?
Yes, sir. The check's in the mail.
There you go.
What's that from?
Stand tall and shake the heavens, man.
All right, then.
Oh.
It's Big Trouble in Little China, Katie.
I've never seen that movie.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, I know. The whole Pork Chop Express comment was the best response. It's a Facebook I posted. I made a thing about the Pork Chop Express, and you...
Katie did make something
she
funny.
She thought he was talking about his meal, like it was Instagram.
Yeah, you were eating really late.
Yeah.
Zappy.
Alrighty. Grumble. Gene Wilder, pure imagination versus Maroon 5, pure imagination? Question mark? I have no idea.
Gene Wilder is amazing and Maroon 5 sucks.
That seems end.
Yeah,
pure imagination. I don't know.
I don't even know. I don't know anything about either of them having a thing called pure imagination. But if the questions boil down to Gene Wilder versus Maroon 5, it's an obvious answer.
Yeah, Gene Wilder.
All right, Gene Wilder done.
Yeah, say what you will about Seth MacFarlane TV shows, but one of my favorite things ever was in an episode of American Dad when the guy's giving a gift and he says, "I got you a new Maroon 5 CD because I know how much you like things that suck."
Nice. Zappity Grumble. Regular Oreo or double stuff Oreo? I'm convinced the regular is the correct answer as the stuff ratio to cookie ratio is much too high in the double stuff version, but would like to get final word from you guys.
Is it an Oreo?
Yeah.
Yes.
That there is the right no answer. Wrong Oreo.
Answer.
There is no wrong Oreo. Done. All right.
I would say there's no such thing as too much stuff. Like the sleeve, those sleeves, they have like three rows of Oreos. They could have one cookie at either end of the row.
And you'd be okay
and
with
just
it.
Have stuff the rest of the row.
Have you seen the movie The Stuff? That's probably too much stuff.
That might be, yeah.
Or is it the right stuff?
No, the white stuff. The song by Weird Al.
Have you seen the Futurama episode where he has to put all the Oreo? He has to put the Oreo together, and he like has to unwrap them for each separately, and he puts it together, and then he takes it apart, licks it, and throws it away.
Yes.
Wow. Nice.
That's the correct way.
I will say the berry ice cream Oreos is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very good.
We have a lot of these left. Just FYI.
All right, go.
Yeah, go.
Who would you rather commit oral on? Ballbreaker from Porky's or Umbridge from Harry Potter?
Umbridge is kind of hot.
She's in the new movie. She's in the Sleeping Beauty movie.
Is she?
She's one of the fairies.
I'm just saying. She's got it going on. She's confident. She's curvy. She's wearing all that pink.
She is confident. That is true.
I mean, Ballbreaker's a big, ugly beast of a woman. Like, Umbridge at least is clean and well-kempt and everything.
I think she wears pink. I think she's the pink fairy in Sleeping Beauty, too.
I think that's her voice in Sleeping Beauty, yeah.
Maybe the actress voice, just...
her.
Oh, it is actually her. That's right. Yeah, you're right.
Live action.
In Maleficent. Yeah, you're right. I forgot.
Well, to be fair, it is her voice.
It is also her voice.
It is also her voice.
It is also her voice. I thought the fairies were a little overdone in that, but yeah. I enjoyed the movie. I just thought the fairies were a little overdone.
Is that funny?
Grumble.
Best thing you ate at Lock and Load. I went to an amazing Mexican restaurant, which is not what you would expect to be the best thing in Seattle, but it was amazing.
I've been to that Mexican restaurant as well. I think we're talking about that same one that was off the,
yeah, we
the
square about there. It.
Did they have guactopus?
No. But I did go to the Lunchbox, which is kind of like a build-your-own hamburger place. And I made my own hamburger, actually the exact same way I normally eat a hamburger. But it was really fucking good and
like
really
a
expensive. No, it's called a Lunchbox.
But it's like a Fuddruckers.
No, it was better.
It's a How fancy. It's
like
a fancy
Fuddruckers.
Yes. Yeah, it's a fancy Fuddruckers.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the answer is yes. It is like a
Fuddruckers. Zappity.
Is it in September sometime?
Yes.
Grumble. I already know you guys aren't playing War Machine at Gen Con, but are you going to it all? And if so, what days? I am probably going to play in the Masters qualifier.
I'm
going to
try Masters
day.
As well.
I might do both one lock and loaded and masters.
Do you think that you will make it past round one this time, Jeremy?
I am going to try. My record in Masters qualifiers in the last three rounds that I've played in, it was 0-3. So we're going to try to do better than that at Daikon.
My pledge is that if somebody is going to drive down Saturday morning and leave Saturday night and is willing to have me in the car and won't charge me for gas, I will go for Saturday.
I don't think you're going to find a lot of takers, but good luck on that.
Just throw that out there. All right. That's my pledge.
Ask Glenn. He always wants to go.
Never mind.
Glenn's like, aww.
Glenn, what's the deal? I saw you riding your bike on Odana like yesterday. Like, don't you live on the east side? Why were you bike riding at like 3 in the afternoon?
Yeah, he was at Pegasus. I saw him yesterday.
But he was riding his bike. Did he bike from the east side to Pegasus?
I think so.
Oh my God.
He was a bike partway through town one day, camped somewhere, then biked through.
How is he not like built like a brick shit house?
Well,
he's
trying to get his leg
much.
Back into shape after being a cow.
Yeah, but that seems like it would be over. Like,
I agree. It seems
like I want to get my leg into shape, so I'll bike 5 hours.
Right. I don't know what to tell you.
Zappity.
Humble.
Favorite dinosaur?
The pterodactyl.
I'm just going to take generic T-Rex.
Triceratops.
Or the lake one.
I like the plesiosaur.
Plesiosaur is cool.
I like the Allosaurus.
Yeah. Cool. So like a poor man's T-Rex.
It's the hipster T-Rex.
It is kind of a hipster T-Rex. All right.
See, it just smells bad. Wearing a rumble. Has a pompadour.
Has a lot of hemp in its hair.
A lot of tattoos.
Wow. Corncob
pipe.
Is there a unit in Stignar that can fulfill the jamming role that boom howlers do with the same level of effectiveness?
Nope. No.
Boom howlers?
Boom howlers.
The boom howlers are in Stignar. Deal with it and like it.
Zappity.
Grumble. When will we see more board game tutorial videos?
Tomorrow.
Not by us. As soon as I get the studio set up for it. Nathan and I are going to be working on some things. And yes, other people.
With Andy moving and then stuff happening and things and conventions, there's a lot of videos that need to be
released.
Yeah,
we have like a movie paint train that has to go up.
Movie paint train, a couple battle reports and stuff like that.
One battle report, it is going up to this Wednesday.
Nice. Sweet. Look forward to that.
And then the movie paint train, I'm actually going to hold off until the actual video release.
Wow. Because at this point, that's how far behind it is.
Which is 2 weeks, by the way.
I know, okay. It's in 2 weeks.
Wow, that works, I guess.
I guess that'll do, donkey.
Hey, we are on top of things.
It's been a busy summer.
I did have somebody say that they really like our movie paint trains too, so it's got me slightly more invigorated to.
I really wanted to do one.
You found the one guy who liked it.
I really wanted to do one for the high school girl movie you guys were all teasing me about. I think that would have been a great movie paint train.
The Divergent.
Yeah, I think that would have been a fantastic movie paint train.
Yeah. But it could have been another I Am Number 4, and that could have been an issue.
That would have been an amazing movie paint train.
I really tried. I thought I Am Number 4 was going to be good, and then it was not.
It was not.
No.
Zappity.
Last 25% of it was good.
What would you suggest is the best way to learn everything rules-wise to give someone a good shot at passing the judges' test?
Oh, Nathan? Jesus.
Number one thing I'll say is that they don't give a shit about anything that's on a card.
Yeah, they want you to know the actual rules.
Like, when this first started, people were like, oh, yeah, like, they ask, like, they want to know what Gorman's strength is and blah. No, why the hell would a judge need to know what Gorman's strength is?
Just look at the card.
Because if somebody's like, oh, we're trying to do a push, and I think Gorman won because I think his strength is 8. You pick up the card and go, no, it isn't. And you put it down. So don't worry about that. Just worry about, like, execute, like, how to do things.
Yeah.
Can you tell me how a two-handed throw actually works? Odds are you can't, because 90% of people can't.
Yeah.
But if you know how a two-handed throw works, if you know how to do stuff like that, do you know, just weird little interactions? Your arc note has stealth, your caster doesn't, or vice versa. What happens? You know, just...
I mean, things out of sight, like not stealth, but yeah.
I meant out of sight, yeah.
I don't think if your caster has stealth, it matters.
I was sight, I meant.
Speaking of videos, I'm tempted to get us to play through, the five of us play Risk Legacy from start to finish.
Oh my God.
Because the map, the world changes in Risk Legacy, so it evolves and everything. It's like you start with a generic world, and then when you win, someone gets you name a continent, you make a base, you do all these crazy things. So when the game is over, every time you play the game is completely different. There's envelopes you don't even open.
Yeah, like your 10th game, you cut open an envelope that says only read after 10th game or only read after one player has won 5 times and stuff like that, and the game permanently changes.
How long is this going to have to sit on my table?
No, each game you play and then you put it away. It's just you get together, you play a game, and then you record who won, and then the game's like, okay, whatever, and now like Andy won the game, Andy gets to do this, and you just take your permanent marker and you draw on the map, this is Andy Town, and now Andy Town is a place for future game plays and stuff. It's actually a really cool concept for a game, and I've been thrilled about it. I'd be down with that.
Sounds like we could do something like that.
Zappity,
grumble. Cool.
I've enjoyed many movies / books that Nathan despises. What are some things the group loves but sets Nathan off?
We don't. There's not that much. I mean, if Jim was here, we'd have a much more diverse thing. Yeah. But I'd say Nathan, we'd agree, I'd say 80%+ of the time, maybe even 90% of the time.
Speaking of agreeing with you about stuff, I had Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, Giant Monster, Giant Attack back for less than 24 hours because I loaned it to a coworker yesterday.
Nice.
I saw it for sale. It's actually for sale at Walmart now. Walmart actually has a huge display of all Godzilla movies.
Sweet.
Just on like one entire end cap.
What?
He's all...
Katie's so bored.
Zappity.
Grumble.
He's going to be bored.
Favorite Autobot and Decepticon, go.
Rodimus Prime.
Oh, I was going to say Rodimus Prime, you son of a bitch, just because I know it pisses off Andy.
I had to say it so fast because I knew you were going to do that.
Damn it.
Go 80%
agreement.
Wait, what's the show where they are cats?
Thundercats?
No, they have cat...
Voltron.
I like the cats.
Voltron might be the best Transformer.
That's true.
They did have Predacons.
Yeah.
No, mine is Ultra Magnus. For an Autobot. And for Decepticons, obviously, the original Megatron.
Can we go with other ones? Like, does Dinobot count? Because he was awesome in Beast Wars.
That was not Transformers. It was Beast Wars.
It was Transformers.
It was still Transformers.
Yeah.
I would also try to troll and name a GoBot, but I can't name a GoBot.
Leader 1.
Leader 1. What a great
Turbo,
name.
Yeah. Turbo and Scooter.
Turbo can be for any robot for anything, though.
Obviously. I super like, because this was me being hipstery even as a kid. Everybody liked Bumblebee. I liked Cliffjumper just because he was the red Bumblebee.
I really liked the bad guy that was actually just a boombox.
Yeah,
Soundwave was my favorite.
Fantastic Decepticon.
Many a bath time consisted of playing with Soundwave.
People nowadays, I don't understand what that guy is.
What is a boombox?
Quick thing, if I remember correctly, Astrotrain, who was the shuttle, he was carrying all the Decepticons away from the giant battle that happened in Transformers the movie, and then they all got into a fight.
Is that the one with Shia LaBeouf?
No. Then they all got into a fight inside of him, and the Constructicons, think of it like a space shuttle.
Sure.
Big enough to house these guys. The Constructicons form Devastator inside of Astrotrain, which is perplexing.
With his big balls. He's got them under the balls.
No.
And then the black Transformers were like, we don't read no good. Thanks, Michael Bay. You fucktard.
You're hurting my childhood.
Do you remember in a Futurama episode where they didn't know what phone booths were and they thought they were porta potties?
Yeah.
It was funny.
Good story, Katie. That might be the best story you've ever told on air.
At least you didn't break out a fucking notebook.
Zappity.
Your notebook only has 3 pages. Like, I opened it. I was like, oh, thank God, only 3 pages.
And he talked for like an hour.
I know.
That's because the pages were only my games. I had to talk about actual lock and load.
Christ.
Oh, Zappity.
Grumble. Glenn, who's apparently one of our listeners, said, am I ever
Glenn.
I'm going to answer. What's the question?
I stand by my thing. You shouldn't be riding your bike that much if you...
Am I ever going to be invited onto the show again?
No. Zappity.
You're never going to want to be on it now.
That's probably true. You may never want to talk to us again.
Like, I like you. Raylene says we can't invite you to our wedding because something terrible will happen.
That's true.
That is a little bit fair.
If you show up, people will die.
That's a little bit fair.
He lives a great life.
You're like Eeyore. Like, I don't know how to describe you any other way.
You are on a bad day.
Zappity. For the love of God, Zappity. Borka 2. Good, meh, or unbearable? Lots of forum hate. So after Warders and Egress, that's a good sign.
He'll be fine.
He'll be fine, you know.
It's a pun.
I know it was.
He's a little gimmicky. You have to build a list specifically for him. He only has one spell, but he's all right.
Stealth on the opponent's army is actually kind of schnexy.
Yeah.
Like, there are some cool things you can do with that.
Ghetto
Foxhole. Yeah, see-through shit.
Yeah.
I got poked.
And he tells, like, the Sorshas to go to hell.
Yep. Good times.
Yeah.
Zeppity.
Come on. As a breaker of the fourth wall, Deadpool goes a bit further and jumps from the Marvel Universe into that of the Iron Kingdoms. Which faction does he join and why? Hurts. What model in the game, not necessarily in line with the faction you picked, would best represent him? If anyone uses X-Men Origins Wolverine for Deadpool's character reference, please remove their spleen or punch them in the kidney for me, or at least give him a noogie.
Hey, buddy. For the entire 5 minutes that Deadpool was in that movie, I only recall him being in the movie at the beginning.
Okay.
For the entire 5 minutes that Deadpool was in the movie, he was fucking amazing.
He was amazing.
It's a shame he never came back. They introduced some weird thing at the end that had no explanation or anything, but the whole time Deadpool was there.
We spent like 10 minutes listening to Nathan rant about this, like in a previous episode. Listen to all of them, figure out which episode that was, and listen to that.
The only problem with Deadpool in the X-Men Origins Wolverine was the fact that they kept on talking about how much of a smartass he was, but he wasn't really that much of a smartass. It would have been much better if he was being really a big smartass. And then, yeah.
Also on topic, I wonder which faction the Merc with the mouth would be in.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Yeah. Maybe. Mercs.
Mercs.
Yeah.
Mercs. All right, done. Zappity, grumble, go. Next question.
Model?
Huh?
Model. Which model would represent
him? I'm going with Rasheth.
I'm gonna go with the guy that was an alternate caster that had no spells and no focus. He was
Vinter?
Yeah, Vinter Relthorn.
You're just going with Vinter for the hell of it?
Yeah. Okay. As his model.
I'm going with the bear.
The bear. Works for me.
That also works.
Just log.
I just go.
And his brain hurts.
No.
Who would you cast in an Iron Kingdom's buddy cop movie?
Fuck me. We've been 50 minutes in for Zappity Grumbles.
I told you we had a lot.
Go buddy cop.
They've been
buddy cop. I don't know.
Borka.
It's a good question.
And who's the most stingy, teetotally?
I would
priest
think like
Menoth. I would like Severus.
Or Rusk. I Rusk and Borka would be.
There you go. A Rusk and Borka.
Pretty good.
Yeah, that's good.
Hooray!
Alien Denegra. Done.
That's a different kind of movie that I'd watch.
Kind of movie I'd watch it.
The episode of Bad Cop, Bad Cop would be excellent scene like Butcher and Borka.
Yeah.
Or no, hold on. Bad Cop, Bad Cop, Butcher and Doomshaper.
Yeah, Doomshaper would be a better, yeah.
He is his dickhead.
Just Bad Cop, Bad Cop.
Troll Hitler.
All right, so.
Is the Team America montage song acceptable for wedding montages?
Yes.
Yes.
In fact, it should be mandatory. New aisle march.
And actually should be our next national anthem.
It should be.
Can you imagine football games start off with America? Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
There's a real chance that Doomsday by Nero is going to be Raylene's wedding march. I'm wearing her down.
You're running out of time, man.
That will happen.
It'll happen. All right, last question. Zappity Grumble. Best bad thing that did something awesome. Example, I once used Mosar's feet to make Rock frenzy. He attacked and killed Borka. That's kind of hilarious. Why didn't you transfer? Anyway. Bad thing that did something awesome. I once killed Behemoth with a shepherd.
But what was the bad thing?
The shepherd was the bad thing, and it killed Behemoth.
Oh.
Like, the shepherd charged up, and, like...
I thought it meant, like, something bad happened, and then it turned out to be really good.
No, he did best bad thing that did something awesome. It's like a bad model that did something good.
I think Brian's Kalos game was the best thing, bad thing, that ever turned out to be a good thing.
Yes. That was hilarious.
It was a bad thing.
It was the most angry Brian's ever been when he realized I was just going to have him trade in his gold for something else, like for food or something.
Yeah. I know I have an example for a machine, but I can't think of one.
Yeah, my shepherd killing Behemoth was my best.
Mine was a choir member killing off Ephiora.
I think I broke even on armor. I played a game and I had some horrible beatstick monster of a caster my opponent had. Like, it was like Butcher 3 or Karchev or something like that. And he survived at one hit point a charge by the Corollary.
Wow.
So the Corollary, if I'd rolled one higher, would have killed this cat. Like, to be fair, like, I mean, I'd put a shitload of damage on him, right. But the killing blow was almost the Corollary. It came 1 point short.
That's kind of amazing.
I remember that game.
Yeah.
So did you forget about Twitter?
No, that's Facebook and Twitter. We're done.
Oh, okay.
We're done.
Thank God.
Yay!
Recommendations.
Oh, Jesus.
No, mine's quick. And Andy, you'll like this one because you get to toot your own horn and everything.
I'm going to yell at you.
No, you're not going to yell at me. I recommend the album from 2010 called Something for Everybody by the band that you forgot existed, Devo. It's a fucking amazing album with a couple songs that are fucking amazing. And they're better than just Whip It.
Sad tangent. Well, we lost two members of Devo this year.
Yeah.
Whip It is the best they've ever done. Why would I listen to anything else?
There's much other songs.
Much like the crazy people that listen to any other songs. Submarine from the Beatles.
Shut up,
because
Jeremy.
The best work.
Oh, fuck you.
But no,
that was the correct decision.
Unplugging Jeremy is always the correct decision. No, Fresh and Don't Shoot Him a Man are both really, really good songs off of Something for Everybody. That's my recommendation.
Yeah, I stand behind that.
Katie?
I am going to recommend bangs. I'm gonna cut myself some bangs. Maybe not tonight, maybe tomorrow morning.
That seems like a very deadly morning activity,
right?
What's gonna happen?
Can I?
Well, I already got a bad haircut, so I'm gonna go with it.
I'm digging this that you're doing right here. Cindy you've Lou got Who? The lazy fountain.
Cindy Lou Who.
I like to call it the fountain O'Hare. Well, you've got it tucked back under. I like the fountain O'Hare that little kids, like baby girls have that they do. Your mom just like puts the fucking rubber band right on the top, and your hair just poofs out.
Yeah,
your hair's too long to do it, unfortunately.
No, I can do it.
Oh, you're gonna like
poof back down. Make it work.
While you're doing that, I'm gonna make a quick side recommendation. Don't worry, Andy. This won't get too bad. If you're going to make a TV show based on books and one of the seasons is going to reflect one of the books, there's a really fucking awesome scene at the end of the book.
Yeah.
Maybe you should have that really fucking awesome scene in your fucking TV show, you fucking fucks.
Yeah. Brian.
I'm going to go on a fucking killing spree.
Yeah. Brian was like, this thing didn't happen. And I was like, well, that's because we're clearly only halfway through.
No, you didn't know what thing he was talking about.
No, it took me a bit. Because the fact that it had been left out blew my mind. I was like, well, clearly there's another season for this book.
Yeah. I don't want to go too much further because Andy's here.
Right.
But I was looking forward, literally, that looks great, Katie. Literally this entire year, I have been assuming that that was going to be the last shot of the season and that it was going to be amazing seeing non-book readers' reactions.
Yep.
And I was robbed of it.
You were?
I'm going to say that that's because it doesn't actually matter in the books. And
if that's true,
I'm going to be so pissed.
If that doesn't matter, that's the worst writing in the history of
writing. Yeah, because it's a lot. There's a lot of it. Anyway. Yeah. So angry.
Now Andy's so angry.
See, now if I had bangs that went like this.
The best thing is if we were just trolling Andy and there was nothing missing from the episode.
It was annoying, too, because as we were sitting down playing the board game day over at Pegasus on Sunday, before the event, Brian showed up, and one of the players there started talking to Brian. He's like, hey, did Tyrion do his thing yet?
I'm like, fuck! And I told him to stop. He's like, well, he's coming to her. He's a nice guy, but it's like, when you're talking about spoilers, you can't use examples.
You can't
like,
dance
an example.
Oh my gosh, the girl that I sit next to at the office hasn't seen the episode yet, and she's like, but I have a feeling that this is going to be a spoiler, by the way. If you haven't seen it already, you're retarded. You're an idiot.
No.
I have a feeling Tywin dies. And I was like, why would you think that? That seems odd to me. I don't know your way off.
So
on
the Something Awful forums, you can buy other people avatars, which is the greatest dick move you can do. You just spend $10 and give somebody an avatar that says, you know, I'm a whiny pussy.
Right.
And so there have been people who have been spending their money trying to ruin the show for people, which is a dick thing to do because they've been making the people's avatars be spoilers. And it's amazing and terrible. So like in the show discussion thread, they just tell people turn avatars off, which you can do. You can just make them not show up. But like some of them are just gibberish, like Varys is a merman, which is like one of my new favorite things or whatever, and just random stuff like Bran kills Hodor by warging into him and making his brain explode and stuff like that. And then somebody just bought Tyrion finds Shay in Tywin's bed, strangles her to death, and then kills his dad while he's taking a dump. And so that was there, like, big as day, and everybody saw it, and they're all like, that's just stupid. and then again, like, the next week, somebody's like, by the way, did you guys hear this? And they're like, shut up, that's the dumbest thing ever. And then it happened, and they're all like, that was true? Oh, it's so good.
Here's the thing, though. There was such a Kirchhoff's gun moment.
Kirchhoff's gun.
Chekhov's gun.
I prefer Kirchhoff's gun,
which is also good.
Because they showed the pin, the pin of the hand, which in the books, he strangles Shay with the necklace made of hands. And so I thought instead of strangling, he was going to come and like stab her with the pin, and it was going to tie it nicely in, and then never did it.
Yeah.
Stupid Karchev's gun didn't work.
I think it was just to show that he was actually in his dad's room.
His dad was not wearing his clothes recently. Like, here's a naked woman in the bed, there's his dad's clothes, 1+1.
I feel like if I walked into my dad's room and there was a naked woman in his bed, I wouldn't need to know whether or not
he's... Well, Tywin Lannister's a little uptight.
I think you're smarter than several viewers, like, in general. Like, they have to...
I have to talk to you about a thing about that after this. We're done.
That sounds good.
That sounds good. My recommendation is Dragon's World. Brian really loves it, so you know it's a good game. He plays it a lot. No, I was playing this game at Lock and Load, and people were walking up to me going, what is that game? I want to play it. I said, it's Pokemon with dragons. Done. Every one of them went and downloaded it.
You know what else? Like Pokemon with dragons? Pokemon.
Yeah, that's true. You don't have to go through the world like
finding them. You don't have to wander the world. You just breed them.
I'm level 13 in this game, and I still don't understand why anyone plays it. I'm looking at it. It's useless.
Also, it brings me joy how frustrated Brian's getting with the game.
It's the most pointless game I've ever played. I play a lot of games that do nothing.
Anyway, that's my recommendation is Dragon's World.
Andrew?
My recommendation is not to watch the Hall of Fame induction ceremony for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Didn't that happen months ago?
It happened months ago, but I watched
it. In case you have the chance to watch it.
I watched it recently, and it's the only good thing about it is Peter Gabriel, and it's the first thing on it, and that's all that matters. The rest of it is just... your Kiss drone on about like how... Blah, 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 whatever. I'm done.
I hate it when they drone on about blah.
Whatever.
Brian.
Go!
I recommend going for walks. I don't know. That's all I did last week. I nothing else exciting happened in my life. I saw some movies, but I don't want to bring them up because no one else saw them. Going for walks are good.
Oh.
It clears the mind.
Recommend Edge of Tomorrow. You should go see it before it's not in the theater.
Go see Edge of Tomorrow, people. And then go see How to Train Your Dragon 2 and 22 Jump Street. There. I moved much on the
other side. It's
hilarious.
Also, by the way, I asked your brother if he'd be my friend on Game Center, and he has not accepted my friend request. I'm angry at him.
Wow.
It's kind of funny.
So, fascinating. This podcast is like 40 minutes long?
And we're out.
We were actually really good on time.
People didn't hear us last week, so they got extra.
There was a fucking.
This is double big.
Shitload of Zappity Grumbles.
There were a ton of Zappity. Well, that's because we didn't record
last week. People were holding them in. They were hurting themselves.
There were people posting Zappity Grumbles. I saw while I was at work today still. We hadn't even posted we were recording tonight. There were Zappity Grumbles happening.
I posted it when I was at work. Zappity Grumble.
Hooray!
Anyway.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
We missed you.